morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed. The hell? 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Well, good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Big O'Brien.
Hello!
Just walked into my two least favorite things. The microwave is covered with schmutz.
Oh, no.
And there were 3 seconds left on the timer.
Ugh.
Just luck. Pull your crap out early. Fine. Then hit start again and let it run out or hit clear. I don't like that part where I have to get rid of your memory before I start freshening up my cup of coffee.
How dare you?
And it's a disaster. That microwave is an absolute disaster. And, you know, whenever I complain to somebody, everyone says people are slobs. And I say, no, they're not slobs. They're a-holes. If they were slobs, their microwaves at home would be a mess.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
No.
No?
No. They care about their microwaves at home.
I was the kid in school and they said, do you treat your stuff like that? And I said, oh, no, I treat my stuff way worse than this.
All right. Well, you're right.
I think if you look at the average public bathroom, it would be far worse than the average private bathroom.
That for sure.
I disagree. I totally disagree. I completely disagree.
Don't be contrary.
I disagree.
You just go right on the side of your seat at home.
I disagree. I totally disagree.
What sort of food item looked like it had exploded in there?
I don't know.
Please tell me it was like a breakfast burrito.
Adam's upset because I said, I'll bet their one is as messy at home. Because apparently it goes, yes, and that moves conversation
I disagree
forward.
With that too, Bonaducci. I disagree with everything you two say.
I think anybody that would make a mess in a microwave at work where there are witnesses... Mm-hmm. Would make a mess at home where they're in private. I'm sorry if that throws your theory, but I think they're probably slobs.
I disagree because what about the public bathroom?
I would not necessarily think that if they lived alone, theirs would be any better. If I lived alone,
all right,
the messes that I leave in my bathroom would be
gross. Let me ask you this. The part where you use a paper towel, open the knob, and then drop the paper towel on the floor.
Right.
Do you think people would do the equivalent to that at their house?
No, I do not.
Or how about whizzing on the seat when instead of lifting the seat or something like that?
Yes.
How about a rental car versus their home?
A rental car, in my opinion, is an ATV.
Right. But you wouldn't drive your car that way.
No.
Why not?
Because I own it.
That's right. But you own your bathroom and you own your microwave, too.
But you're not doing damage to your microwave as you are being a slob and letting... Because I just did this. I heated up tomato sauce, spaghetti and tomato sauce, and didn't cover it with a paper towel, and it blew up, and there was schmeg everywhere. And I figured, well, Amy lives here. She'll eventually come downstairs and see the schmeg all over the thing, and she'll clean it.
Right, but that's not living alone. I mean, if you live alone, if you're the person who needs to take care of it, if you pay someone to take care of it, that doesn't make you a slob. That makes you busy.
Right.
Or if you're married, that doesn't make you a slob. That's a scheduling thing, per se.
I may have to change this and go with spite then, because I was here for it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I had to get back from Glendale,
mm-hmm.
and my GPS seemed to be attracted to traffic cones.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get back here till almost like 11:40. That day was traveling all over and everybody was gone.
Uh-huh.
And there were people cooking in the microwave and it was some kind of Italian dish.
Mm-hmm.
And your name came up.
Mm-mm.
And I said, you know, you're going to drive Carolla crazy. You know that that's going to drive Carolla crazy. And essentially the answer was, yeah, we know.
What's in there, though, now in our communal microwave is a cacophony, a symphony of 5 or 6 different dishes. It's not one plate of lasagna. It's about 5 or 6 different things. It's an accumulation thing. It needs to be douched out like once a week because I don't know who does what. And by the way, I've never seen so much home cooking since the Iron Chef. People come in here with livestock. Guys are opening. They have farmers markets over here.
I saw a tank of lobsters.
Guys, a lobster tank.
I don't like when they go kosher and actually slit the bird's throat right here at work. That bothers me.
Guys hanging up meat in the window here. I mean, guys come in bringing in stuff, bouillabaisse and shrimp-based dishes and stuff. This is an 8:30 in the morning. They bring it all in here, and then they sort of eat dinner slash lunch. I don't know what they're eating at 8 a.m. But by the way, there should be some sort of no-fly zone for, like, curried meats before 10 a.m. You know what I mean? Like, I don't give a rat's F what your schedule is. You're either going to have some kicks or some Chex or some wheat mix or whatever the hell you're eating with milk, or you're eating nothing. Or maybe a breakfast bar. We got guys coming in here. They're bringing a crock pot of, like, curried lamb-based dishes, making themselves a few, you know, a couple bowls of it, and then they just sit down, and it's weird at 9 in the morning when you're smelling a guy's curry.
Yeah, and it's not, it's the smelling is gross because it's not a breakfast food, but it's the fact that they're concocting it. You see it, a certain man, certain red-pantsed fellow,
yes,
slicing up his avocados.
Getting out the cheese wheel. I know it's
He's
a weird.
He's got a fondue pot.
It's a weird. I'll tell you, I feel the same way about, we're talking about the bathroom, we're talking about the kitchen. I feel the same way about the kitchen that I do about the bathroom, which is go ahead and work your internal timer out so that you drop your deuce before you leave the house in the morning and go to work. I feel like a lot of guys coming to work to take a crap.
Right.
And a lot of guys come to work to eat as well. Eat your breakfast, take your dump, come to work.
Is it that they're on the clock, so they figure, why don't I just slice my avocados and boil my lobster here?
Don't know.
Well, you know what?
Traffic, maybe.
I can't do it. What? Because I just can't sit here and go, you know what? This makes all perfect sense because it's the easiest way to go. I disagree, and I got to go buy it because I'm not saying I've sat here at 7:30 in the morning eating some of the best tamales I've ever had. Brought by you and your boy, and they're delicious, but I don't think of them as breakfast food. Do you?
No.
No, I'm looking right at you, T. I don't look at them as breakfast food. Do you?
Tamales.
So there are exceptions to the Corolla rule.
Oh, and listen, sometimes food after is, the tamales, food is good.
I gotta take
food,
a deuce after your tamales.
Well, you do?
Yeah, sure.
This is obviously, well, first off, you've done this two times in a year.
This is not a morning ritual. I hesitate to do it. And not because of you. I agree with your point in general. This is not because of the thing that bothers you. Although I must tell you, since I wear very recognizable shoes, I hate going number two and hearing the doorman going, oh, Jesus, is that Corolla? Is he going to know I'm in? Is he going, I'm dropping a deuce?
I'm okay with that. Sometimes you have to go, and sometimes your body just has to go.
Gene Simmons platform boots sticking through.
Bonaducci's taking a deuce.
Bonaducci's dropping deuce. Look, here's all I'm saying. There is occasion when one needs to drop a deuce at the company head. There is occasion when Ozzy brings a tamale and you eat it. That's occasion. That's fine. Do what you got to do. I'm just talking about a daily ritual where people are in here cooking up pasta fazool and making lamb curry and chutney sauce.
That's what I watched the other day.
At 9 in the morning, and then they blow it all up, and then I go in there. All I want to do is get a re-zap on the coffee mug. I'm not looking to win any culinary prizes, or I'm not doing a bake-off over here. I got a cup of coffee. I ate my breakfast at home, took my crap at home. Now I got my little cup of coffee, and I just want to go heat it up without some melted cheese dropping into it that was permafried to the roof
on this,
of the microwave.
Friend, I will back you 100%.
And if you do, or here's an exotic idea. How about this? How about the urinal equivalent to the microwave? Now, hear me out. I'm not talking about taking a leak in a microwave. I'm talking about a smaller microwave just for heating up teas and coffees themselves. So you don't have to have your coffee taste like garlic paste because somebody blew up lasagna in the microwave. Who needs the big old microwave? How about a smaller one just up top? I just use that baby. You guys could go sick with your Cajun cuisine down on the lower microwave.
Don't they make individual little coffee makers? Matter of fact, I know that they do.
Single cup, you put the pouch in.
Single cup or even a double cup, even two big cups.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, they make this. You guys are talking about two different things, but they
coffee
make
maker.
Both of those things.
Right.
Yeah, they make the single travel mug one.
Would that make you happy if you came in here tomorrow and there's a little desk next to you? Maybe I'll carve your name in it with a penknife.
Here's what I don't like. Here's what I don't like. I don't like drinking out of the sippy cup when I'm on terra firma. You know what I mean? When I'm on land, I don't like it. When I'm driving, I understand you have to give a little. It's like if I was at home and I was going to drink a beer, I'd want to drink it out of a glass or a beer bottle. But if you go to the ballpark, you have to drink it out of a plastic cup. Not what I would choose, but I understand I'm at a game, I'm at a concert, I'm at a place where they're not going to give me a beer bottle or a beer stein, so I have to drink it out of the plastic cup. I'm that way with the commuter mug. I don't mind slugging out of it while I'm driving the car.
Right.
Once my ass gets into the seat here and we're settling in and doing a show, I like the mug. I don't like the weird pop. I don't like the plastic. You know what I'm talking about?
Do you like it enough that if, say, you stopped at a Starbucks only 5 minutes from here, mm-hmm. and you filled it with, now see, when I stop at Starbucks, I get you a black coffee. I'll mm-hmm. get you any fooling around coffee.
Right.
I don't like coffee. Mm-hmm. So if I stop, I'm stopping for everyone. I would never go to a Starbucks to have coffee. So I'll go and get the gang stuff and I'll get a caramel macchiato with double caramel. Mm-hmm. So really, mm-hmm. it's just a very hot milkshake. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's when I do that. If you were to stop at that Starbucks 5 minutes from here, get here, you have taken two sips from the sipping mug because they have a lid and they stay super hot.
Yeah.
Would you take off the top or transfer the cup, or would you finish the cup on the sipping cup?
I'd finish it in that case.
Okay.
I don't mind, for some reason, I'm not a huge fan of it, but the commuter mug.
I'm not a fan of it because I lose them. It's $14 a cup of coffee every time.
I lose the lid. The commuter mug, the lid is not... First off, there's some of them have a little, like, trap door or flap or something you have to depress or move out of the way or something. But the lid's not exactly made for sucking off of. It'll get the coffee. Like, it'll do the system. It's like a gas can. It'll work, but it'd be a pain in the ass if that's the way you filled your car up every time.
But also then there are people like me who had no idea for years and years and years that there is another hole in a gas can. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that lets
the air.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Let's
the
air
in.
Yes. Otherwise, you get a vacuum.
It's a compression issue.
Who knew that if you turned a vat of liquid upside down, liquid would not pour out?
It is a weird thing. If it falls over, it would all pour out immediately.
Right,
but if you hold it upside down, it would never do that. I'm just saying two things. Drop the deuce at home.
Right.
Again, I'll give you a pass, like in work. You can take a couple sick days off a year, or take a personal day or so, or me day. Take a me dump. Take a dump on me.
You're going to give your employees three
favorite
ABBA days song. A year?
That was my favorite ABBA song. Take a dump on me.
Me. Yeah, there's also Janis Joplin's song.
You can change your mind.
Down. Oh, my God.
Yeah. You're going to pull this whole piece of crap out, aren't you, Mark?
Take a dump on me.
Oh, God.
Oh, I'm not done with this song.
Nope.
Rich Banks, you listening? Take a dump, take a dump, yeah. Take a dump.
I can't believe how good these are. Take a dump on me. All right, a quick round up, wait. Take a dump on me. Take a dump on me. Quick round of celebrities who'd like to be dumped upon.
Yeah.
I'm going with Hitler. I got Hitler first.
Is that right?
Yep. Notorious. Please go on me, guy.
Do we have time to talk to a caller?
Yeah. Hey, Kobe?
Yeah.
Your dad taught you something?
Yeah, he told me that the reason I never go at work is because he taught me a long time ago to never, ever, ever take a crap on your own time. You make sure you get paid for that.
So that's why you do take the dump at work.
I'll wait over the weekend, and long weekends are the hardest.
Yeah, sure. I bet. But that's your time.
No, I know, because sometimes even on you start peeking on a Saturday night, but you have to wait until Tuesday morning to get back into the office.
Right.
Yeah, that's rough. You're just in a fetal position the entire weekend, lying right next to four steps away from the toilet. Yeah. No, look, let me...
I would say
this to you. Who's your dad? Donald Trump? Who's your dad? Very successful mover and shaker?
Is he rich? Is he rich like me? Who's your daddy?
What's he do? Sells aluminum siding?
Well, he's dead. Thanks for bringing that up.
Why don't you take a crap on his memory?
I'm just kidding. He's a plumber.
He exploded over the Christmas vacation one year. It was the winter of 89.
I don't crap on my own time. Those are his last words.
He was a plumber?
Yes, sir.
Interesting philosophy for a plumber. Yeah. But look, let me say this. So he's obviously a very successful self-made man, but let me say this. How about this? You know, when you're, as a woman, you don't want to go on a date on your like third date. You're into the dude. Things are going well. You go back to his place. You guys are watching a movie. You're sharing some wine. Things are looking good. You go in the bathroom and funkify it. When that dude walks in 10 minutes later and the chick he just met and is falling in love with has funkified the bathroom, it's liable to put the whole thing back a couple of months.
Oh, yeah.
It's really going to be a... it'll be a baseball bat in the spokes of your relationship. Now, how about this? The boss walks in, and the new guy in cubicle number 9, the guy he had so much promise for, is in there just dropping a load and funkifying the place. Look, people have little sensory memories. Boss now associates you with stinking up the joint.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's a position, it looks weak. You know what I mean? This doesn't look like a leader. This doesn't look like the guy should have the corner office. Doesn't look like the guy's going to make partner.
Right. The fact is, he is efficiently processing waste, but it seems disgusting.
You know what? I'm with you. I got hassled the other night. A girl came to my house, and Amy had all her beer cans and other trash mixed up in the trash can. And she hassled us about recycling, so I pulled them all out and used them as ashtrays.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, isn't that kind of recycling? I had taken a thing that was used as one thing and effectively turned it into something used as another.
Repurposing, for sure.
At the very least.
All right, well,
God,
look,
you come up at my house a lot.
All I'm saying is, I'll give you, I'll do a voucher system.
Okay.
You get 2.5 deuces a month.
A half.
Well, you don't
You know what? That's fair.
You don't take half a deuce, but every 2 months you get 5.
Okay, like you got 2.5 kids.
And I'll go with you on that because
I don't look at them as my children like you do, but fine. They're not that important. I built the small shrine.
And I don't have a pool to drop them off in.
Putting one through preschool now, but I certainly don't look at them as my children, T. That's weird.
I guess sometimes I got to go and you know, when you're in my head at a good time, it's really interesting because you're something to think about. You really are. But when you're in my head in that bathroom, I just hate it. And then when the door opens and I'm thinking, man, I'm wearing the red boots today. There's no way he doesn't know this is me. This is awful.
This time of the year, I just figure St. Nick's dropping something out of his
sometimes
sack.
Sometimes he
gets
self-conscious about his height, too.
All I'm saying is I'll give you 2.5 a month at work. At home, you go sick. And leave the pasta fazool out of the company microwave until noon.
Okay.
Until noon. We got to pass noon before you start cooking the buffet up here.
Okay.
All right?
I'm afraid that I'm going to need, but probably not all your vouchers, because that it is a personal thing. Because I do funkify, and it embarrasses me.
Can I give him my 2.5?
I don't use my 2.5.
No,
I can sell you one. I like to keep one, but I can sell one. These are like carbon offsets. You know, company can sell theirs off to somebody else or buy them. Ah, crapping offsets. All right.
But then I want to trade my microwave vouchers because I have never, ever, ever used the microwave here.
I know.
It would never occur to me to cook at work.
Well, we need to take a break. 866-901-ADAM. People are calling in. I'm curious if you can solve my problems involving the microwave.
I'm pretty sure it involves the 357.
And the bathroom?
And the bathroom. Well, someone's here suggesting a hot plate. I'm not sure how that works.
That'd be worse.
They don't mean a dorm room hot plate, but there are inventions now that could solve my problem. And I've been crying for this for a long time. I want a microwave that is about the size of a lunchbox.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just enough to get one coffee mug in and give it a zap, or one bowl of soup in and give it a zap, or a cup of tea and give it a zap. I don't need the big old Blockbuster size one at the 7-Eleven. I just need the mini one, and I can't seem to find that one. Anyway, give us a call. Tell us what you think, or tell us about the time you funked up the boss's bathroom.
Oh.
We'll do that next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. And now a message from the man, Program Director Jack Silver.
Take a knee, peeps! Today, the Ace Man offers motivation as Coach Carolla. We'll try to talk Danny out of sitting in a bathtub full of poisonous snakes. Also, comedian Richard Lewis and actor David Arquette. Looks like the Coot Strike continues into day number 4. Oh, but here's something to get excited about. Bon Jovi tickets! If you can guess what song Ozzy's singing, you can score tickets to see the Jovi live. Hey, good thing the Jackman's not eligible to win. I'd rock that shit. Oh, she's a little runaway.
Oh, she's a little runaway.
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Get ready to catch the door, Brian. We were talking about my two big problems. I'm just curious what you think. Blowing up the company microwave and or... Ooh, nice. Almost. The Deutsch Man's in studio.
You'd have liked it, Adam.
What happened out there?
I was throwing around security's phone number outside because it was important and I wanted to get all involved.
What's
going on?
Nothing good. I got all involved. What's up? Where can I go? Well, who's out there? Just flooding somewhere.
Oh.
I don't get it. Is it raining outside or is it not?
A little wet. A little wet.
Yeah, and listen, weathermen, kiss my hairy half-Italian ass, mm-hmm. because this time last week it was nonstop talk about the Santa Anas kicking back in, and don't you hate it when someone makes you unhappy about something and then it never comes to fruition, but you're still walking around with that feeling? I was watching the evening news probably last Wednesday, and they said, oh, Santa Anas are back. The temperature's going to keep going up. There's more fire hazards and blah, blah, blah. And they said, you know, Thursday it's going to kick up. Friday it'll be into the 80s, be in the low 90s on Saturday. And I looked at my wife and I go nuts with heat. And I was like, okay, so this is it? This is it? I'm going to be picking out Christmas trees and I'm going to die. I'm going to lose too much fluid dragging the Christmas tree back to the van and die. Like we're coming into December. It's 90 degrees. I was starting to go nuts. It never happened. It was just cold and foggy the entire weekend. Here's all I'm saying. Come on, be a big man and apologize. All the weather guys, all the news guys, all the time you flub up something or screw something up and give a little mea culpa.
How far will you go for an apology?
That's about it.
Really?
Just yell about it on the radio.
Gretchen came over to my house the other night, and we've been getting along famously. I haven't told her because I don't think she's checked with her rich divorced friends what an angry, bad divorce is like. She just got back from Paris, and I have these three ladies that I now know that have been divorced, and all of them say the same story because the father, me, or the husband, was the single earner. And they all did the same thing. They shut off the money immediately. Mm-hmm. Mommy was frozen.
Mm-hmm.
That my mommy's going to Paris and hanging out with Slash and Guitar Heroes.
Well, how does that work? Because technically, obviously, you can't completely shut off the money or the person would go hungry.
Right.
But on the other hand, haven't...
Yes, what's your point?
No, I mean, in the eyes of the law.
Yeah.
Isn't there some provision? I mean, a husband can't just cut the money off until you settle it.
No. A husband can cut the money off until the wife, who is now penniless, will find a lawyer who will file the papers, because you can't really do that to her. But that can take weeks. You can starve her out for weeks.
But you can't really do that to her is the operative phrase here, which is the law
will eventually save her.
You can do it, but the law will eventually intervene.
But if you can fight long enough and afford it long enough and you're mad enough, you can lose your home on purpose.
Yeah, but
and I can be pushed to that, no problem. I told her lawyer.
I seem like a lot of people would do this. One second.
Go ahead.
I think a lot of people would do this, but it must not look good down the road when the judge sees when the thing goes to trial or a judge gets involved. Is that why more people don't do it? You know, because a lot of people have a lot of acrimony when it comes to a divorce, and I feel like a lot of husbands, especially if they caught their wife cheating or doing something like that, be like, sweetie, you are now officially cut off.
Screwed.
But a year from then, when we decided to divvy things up, the judge would add this plus some to the pot or something. You know what I'm talking about? There must be a reason why this doesn't happen more often.
I wouldn't know because, like I said, I'm... the bad guy in the marriage. I caused this divorce. I just didn't want it. You know, I did the things that made it happen. But I have been more than generous. I actually sent a notarized letter to her lawyer saying I would like 5 pairs of jeans, all my shoes, and 10 shirts. That's all I wanted. I didn't hire a lawyer. Nothing.
That's one day's worth of clothing for Dan.
That's true. But I was going to wear them over and over. I gave her the house, the money, the cash, the everything.
Can of Axe.
I said, let me start my... I moved on because I couldn't find it. I'm wearing this weird roll-on now. It still smells yummy.
55-gallon drum of Axe with the crank pump on top.
But there are a lot of weird rules like that because her lawyer, who you would think would have loved that, I mean, with that house and stuff, I don't know, we got a few million bucks, I would think. And her lawyer said, no judge will ever accept this. And she, I guess, said why. And he said, everybody thinks the wife gets the best deal, and they usually do, but no judge is going to let a man walk in wealthy and walk out penniless. He won't let Danny give you all his money.
By the same token, if you froze Gretchen out, the judge would not look kindly on that either.
I would not imagine so, but I've not gotten there, and I'm not an expert in that because I've been a real gentleman about this. But I got to assume that, too.
People don't do it that often, as often as they would like to. Their counsel must say to them, don't do this.
It doesn't look good in a custody court if you froze out your kids.
Right. And that's something I told my last lawyer, too. It scared everybody. But I would tell you this. My lawyer, I don't know why I say her name, because she's a good lawyer, because she's not giving me a discount or anything. Her name's Gail Cohen. She's very good. But...
Well, screw her. She's not giving you a discount.
Yeah, why not say her name? She seems to be good at her job. She's being much more fair than I just said be fair. I said the last lawyer quit because I wouldn't ask for anything. I just didn't want anything. I didn't ever want to discuss money with the mother of my children. I'll make more money. You can have it. And he quit. He said, you're ruining my reputation. I can't let you walk in rich and walk out poor. This lady's doing her job. But the thing that I did that I thought was kind of interesting was that I just said, let's split everything right down the middle. And now I didn't freeze her out. I didn't change our lives at all. Our bank accounts were exactly the same. Mm-hmm. We split the assets, and this was worked against her. I gave her $1 million the day she asked for a divorce. Didn't know this. She had to start paying her bills then because she made me, by accident, hire a lawyer. I said, no lawyers. Mm-hmm. I give you half of this, and you tell me how much of my income you want and how much child support. We'll look at some book or on our computer program. We'll figure out if it's fair, and that's fine. But I'll give you half of everything right now.
Right.
And then whatever our computer program says that you should get from my earnings, and I'll give you $25,000 cash for not having hired a lawyer.
Right.
And she said, oh, great. And then she was afraid she had not filled out all the paperwork correctly and took it to a lawyer. And he said, well, I'll need $5,000 to look at that. So she wrote him a check, and now she had a lawyer and said, you can't talk to your husband about this. I can't talk to your husband about this. Your husband now needs a lawyer.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's just crazy, man.
I feel like...
But she's been... I just want to make this clear because she gets up at this hour.
Yes.
She's been super reasonable as... I've been overly friendly being a big Italian jerk. I said, just take the money. She hasn't asked for anything tough at all. She's been a real lady. But the thing about the apology was...
Well, wait a minute. You say she gets up at this hour.
Yeah.
Do you think she listens to this?
She says she doesn't, but the other day I got a text saying, hey, why don't you back off on what you just said? We have kids.
There's no way she's not listening.
Yeah. Of course
really?
She does.
You'd
of
have to, wouldn't you?
I would.
I wouldn't.
I would, and then I'd come in here with a machete, you know. But she was at my house. She'd never been to my home before. But I said, you should drop off the kids. I've got stuff I have to do, and then you could see my home. I need a code to get out my gate, and I forgot that because it's different from the code to get in.
Right.
So she's mad about something. She left in a big fight, and it's probably my fault. I'm not putting you down, honey, if you're listening. I'm sure. As a matter of fact, I think I said this is my fault, and I'm sorry. But she kicks my door, and I don't know what she said. You let me out of here right now. I go downstairs in the truck sitting at the gate, and I said, what do you want? She goes, you get me that code right now. And I said, say please. Said, get me out of here right now.
Standing at the door now?
No, like at her car.
Back in the car.
She's in the car and the gate is down, the security gate.
Right, but when she's yelling at you, kicking at the door.
No, we've gone down to the garage.
Okay.
We're now down the garage and I'm standing next to the keypad. I can just let her out.
Right.
But I don't like her tone. She's demanding from me.
Right.
And I said, say please. And she pulls out her cell phone. She says, I am going to call 911 and tell them I am being held captive against my will.
Hmm.
And I said, dial away. Because everybody in my life lately, anything I do, everybody's dialing 911. Johnny Fairface is calling 911. Everybody's calling 911. And I said, call 911 and tell them you're being held captive against your will. And when they get here, I'm going to say, dude, I just moved in. I don't know the code. I forgot. If you know it, could you get it? Because I'd like to get out of here, too. That's what I'm going to say. So call away and look like a tard.
Yeah, they couldn't prove it.
Yeah, of course they couldn't prove it. It's different from the code to get in. I've lived there 3 days.
Right.
But just that she thought that the tape of, hi, this is Gretchen Bonaducci, and Danny Bonaducci is holding me captive. She thought that would scare me enough with all this other stuff going on in my life that I would just cave, and I wouldn't. And I was like, say please or start dialing 911.
That must be a weird feeling when people can threaten you like that.
They do
all the time.
They do. I'm right now because of the Fair Play thing, the divorce. I forget one other thing. People are threatening all the time that I'll call 911. I can look at somebody wrong. They say I'll call 911, or they try and get me to smack them. Mainly.
I don't know how this pertains to divorce, but Todd from Las Vegas invented a microwave caddy.
Ooh, let's talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Is that just a guy that carries it on your back and tells you what cup
Todd,
you should use?
Normally I don't hop around on topics this way, but I'm going to make an exception for you.
Well, I'll tell you what, Adam, you have an inventor's mind.
I do.
Yeah.
That's right. The Corolla rolling on
the recyclerola.
Yes. Yes.
You got to be a kook.
Yeah, like maybe that's it. Well, what do you got? What did you invent?
Well, this microwave caddy, you could Google it. It's a little product that's been selling nationwide for about 3 years now. And it holds a soup bowl or a plate.
Oh, that's a microwave caddy. I thought it was an elderly black gentleman, and I stood in front of the microwave, and I said, I got a bowl of Dinty Moore stew going in here, Earl. What do you think? Six minutes, 27 seconds? And he'd lean in and go, trust me, go defrost, go poultry defrost for about 3 minutes. When it dings, then turn it, then go 2 minutes, 22 seconds, and it will be golden. And I say, thank you. And then he hands me a spatula that he pulls out of a bag, and I size it up.
I think they're illegal now.
The microwave, the black caddy?
Well, you have to paint them white, much like the lawn.
That's the lawn.
If you use this thing, mm-hmm. You will not get your hands dirty with all the crud, mm-hmm. microwave oven, mm-hmm. and you can heat your coffee till it's blazing hot, and the plastic does not heat up.
Well, how does it work?
Well, it's just a 9-inch disc. It's got mm-hmm. legs on it, mm-hmm. and it cradles a soup bowl, a mm-hmm. mug, mm-hmm. or a plate in it.
And it doesn't do the thing where the bowl gets twice as hot as the soup, because half the bowls in my house, the bowls heat up to the point where they're like the space shuttle upon reentry.
Yeah.
The soup is actually colder than when it left the can 4 minutes earlier. I don't know how that's mathematically possible for something to reside in a jacket of molten clay and not go up 1 degree, but I do have those bowls at my house. Well, would this prevent that?
Yeah, what happens is only the water and fat is heated via microwave, and the bowl is heated by transference from the fat or the water,
mm-hmm.
and that's how it gets hot.
Well, how does your caddy work to prevent that?
Well, it's a plastic. There's 30,000 kinds of plastics, mm-hmm. and we developed a plastic that will not absorb the heat from the bowl.
Uh-huh.
It's got a handle all the way around it.
I want to warn you, Todd, we only have time to go over, let's say, 29,000 types of plastic this morning, all right?
Okay, I'm not trying to sell my product.
All right, well, I'll tell you what.
I'll send you one.
Todd, send me one, I'll use it, and if I like it, I won't say anything over the air. Because, you know, that would be payola.
Right.
But if he likes it and tells me, I'll make it into a story, and that's content.
Right, we'll weave it in. That's content versus
I do that all the time.
Payola versus yeah. content.
I just learned something.
As a matter of fact, that should be so easy.
That
should be our radio nicknames. Payola yes. and content.
I like that.
Do you remember the other day Joe Rogan was in here and I was talking about Legends Gym?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I want a free membership.
Hadn't heard that.
I want a free membership. But you can't say that on the radio. You can't go, I want a free membership, so I'm going to mention you. So Joe Rogan comes in. He's a celebrity that trains there. Is that place a great place? Blah, 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 blah. We talk about it for a minute. I ask them to run me off a CD, and I take it in, and I write to owner from Danny Bonaducci and phone number. Huh, guess who's a member of Legends now?
No one loses except our listeners.
I disagree. You should see Rogan fight.
They tapped out a long time ago. Let's see. I'm trying to figure out whether to keep going on the plumbing microwave jag or take a break. I think we should take a break. Hold on quickly, Mike. You're a plumber?
Yeah.
You say to drop one in a bowl when it's dry?
Oh, goodness, no.
I was out on a after hours emergency water service call.
I've got a plumber saying, goodness, much.
Oh, goodness.
Yes?
I have a problem with this in my house.
So I have my schedule set at exactly 4:30 every afternoon after I get off work.
Your bowel schedule?
Mm-hmm.
My bowel schedule, absolutely.
Right.
It is absolute clockwork because some of the facilities we have available are, let's just say, undesirable.
Yeah.
So we're on this after-hours emergency call. It goes from a need to want and have to go right now, go talk to the manager at the condo. They say, well, here, this one's available, and it happens to be a demo unit, like a show unit, example unit.
Oh, no.
So I go in there. You know, there's water.
I did that at IKEA once.
Yeah.
Not proud of it. Hindsight being 2020, should have waited for the family.
You didn't
clear
know it
it
wasn't hooked up.
If hindsight was 2020, you should have seen it coming.
It wasn't. It was a bunk bed. It wasn't even a bathroom. Sorry. Keep going.
So they say, go right ahead, use this one. This is the only one we have available. So I go in there, and it happens to be a pretty serious situation. And so I go to do my first courtesy flush.
Sure.
And realize at that point, the water's off. That's all I got. I'm done.
Oh, no.
And you're halfway through?
So it does get a little bit better. As I finish, I come out. You know, I have hand sanitizer in the truck, take care of that. But as I'm walking out, I see the same manager escorting a pair of prospective buyers in the unit with a fresh bomb in a dry bowl.
Bad times. I must tell you, famously, one time when I was installing custom closets in houses, working with Born Again Gangbangers, Frank, who never spoke a word but had tattoos all over his neck and liked to speak in tongues, actually. Ex-gangbanger, scary guy, spoke in tongues. Used the bathroom in a very small house somewhere in the valley. Don't remember where exactly. Went in there and did the kind of damage that only a guy eating Mexican food 24/7 could do. Walked out of the very small bathroom, shut the door right behind him, right as the owner was obliviously saying to me, yeah, no, I got to show you. We got to go into the bathroom. We have to put up some towel shelves. And as we started to head in, we passed Frank in the hall, and Frank, who never mentioned a word before, muttered, don't go in there. As only a gangbanger could. You know what I mean? They're not big talkers, those folks. They let their knives do their talking. But Frank gave a, don't go in there, man. And this guy was so busy talking about the shelving and about, well, he wanted what his wife wanted. He just door flung open and he made a beeline to a very small bathroom right over the toilet where he wanted the shelving for the bathrobes and stuff. And we just took a beat. And then it was weird because I'm with the owner of the house. His house has just been destroyed by one of my crew members, and I don't know what to say. Should we ignore it? Should I put my head out the window? It couldn't be ignored. You couldn't bust Frank's chops because Frank would stab you with a Phillips head screwdriver on the way home in the neck while you're driving the van while asking for traveling mercy. Oh, good times. All right, we need to take a break. We were talking yesterday about Danny going into the bathtub with the snakes. I saw the news story again today. It's Guinness Book.
Yeah.
Week,
yeah.
Month,
oh,
or
yeah.
Whatever.
No,
the
I'm,
whole month. People are killing themselves trying to set records.
I'm not doing this for nothing. I want to be in the Guinness Book. I was very, very close one time to being in the Guinness Book of World Records, and I didn't make it. And I would really like to be in the Guinness Book of World Records. Plus, this scares me. And I wish we could do it faster. I know it'd be better radio to prolong it. But I have a philosophy of mine is the second something frightens me, I do it. I cannot live with being afraid and not doing it.
Well, we're gonna
so I'd rather
you,
be in that pit of snakes today.
We'll talk details next.
Danny's his name. Ten packs a day. He's got red pubes like a fire down below. Yells at his wife on his reality show. But
Jovi. We're going to do a little Nicaraguan Name That Tune. Ozzy is singing some Bon Jovi songs, and we got some tickets to give away. That would be in the 8 o'clock hour. Now we're talking about...
You have Bon Jovi?
Evidently.
Dude, that rocks.
Yeah.
I love Bon Jovi.
I'm not willing to say I love Bon Jovi because... Six string and the six gun and Johnny.
All right, let's rock out. Thanks.
This is Jack Silver.
You put me through hell.
Come on, Jack.
Chains of love.
Pulled Leo's dork out of his mouth long enough to belt this baby out over dimples 2 weeks ago.
You know what this is? This is the Clockwork Orange. This is the Clockwork Orange of Jovi. If you never want to be able to listen to Jovi again, they do this to you. Like when they held your eyes open and made you watch porn and Clockwork Orange till you couldn't stand it anymore. Mm-hmm. That's what this is.
Yeah.
At the end of a couple of these, you just can't bear Jovi.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. You know, I like Bon Jovi, sort of. But look, that song about little runaway and Johnny wanted to play the guitar. And it's nonsense music. I mean, it's retarded lyrics for the most part.
By a super hot guy that gets all the chicks.
Yeah, but I ain't a chick.
Yeah, okay. I love Jovi in the sense that I want to be Bon Jovi, not that I want to go to his concert.
Yeah, I know. I kind of like the hooks and everything, and good guitar hooks and good band and all that stuff. But the lyrics.
You mean you don't like referring to your motorcycle as a steel horse?
No.
It's good stuff.
No.
And I'm not even positive it's his motorcycle because sometimes I think it's his jet.
No, and him writing a song about a young guy wanting to rock and running away with his girlfriend and all that kind of stuff. Just seems like Bob Seger and every other band on the planet did that 10 times before they did it. But good band, good hooks, and have endured
as well.
That's the thing.
And I would have fun at a Bon Jovi concert. I wouldn't sit around. What I would do.
Brian just stepped up to the man plate. Did you see that?
Yeah, you would. Yeah.
You'd get laid by a really hot girl. Yeah, you would.
I wouldn't sit around and listen to Bon Jovi at home.
No.
I would go to a Bon Jovi concert, get high, put a lighter and a chick on my above my head and have a good time, hopefully catch her on fire when I did it at the same time. All right, so now we were talking about Danny. Well, yesterday the story came up. Some guy set it. Well, I don't know what that was, Brian. Somebody set a new Guinness Book record. I think it was 78 snakes in 45 minutes in a bathtub, or 85 snakes for 45 minutes. 86 snakes, right? 86 for 45 in a bathtub?
I thought it was, and I'm just guessing, so Teresa will probably have in a second, but while she's looking for the real facts, I thought it was 85 for 45.
87 snakes in a bathtub for 45 minutes. The Texas Snake Man.
That was the record.
So yeah. I'm going to just call it, 90 for 50.
90 snakes for 50 minutes. Now, all these snakes were venomous snakes, yes?
Yes, they all had their fangs, and they all had their venom.
And they're all rattlesnakes. And this guy,
I'm getting a divorce. This is nothing.
Let me tell you how stupid this guy Bibby is. Not only did he decide it'd be a good idea to sit in a bathtub outside some restaurant with 85 snakes for 45 minutes that had their venom and had their fangs, but he was breaking his own record.
Yeah.
Right.
Look, here's,
12 snakes.
Here's my thing. If you're a professional stock car driver and you own the record at Talladega for the fastest lap, and then you race in the whatever 500 coming up next year, and you happen to beat your own record on way to winning your next race,
wonderful.
Or if you're an Olympic sprinter and you happen to beat your own record, fine. But if your record is how many times you can stab yourself in the forehead with an ice pick, and your 14. Previous record was 14... Wait till somebody else breaks it before you go for 20. Do you know what I mean? I feel that way about the snakes. Why not let somebody else break your snake record before you climb back into the bathtub?
Now I feel stupid with the whole ice pick thing.
The Dooch Man is going for the snake record, but he's taking it away from somebody else, not trying to break his own. So the plan is...
It's not that anything that I excel at, so therefore I'm jealous and I can do this better. I've never even contemplated anything like this. I just thought I could do that.
And
that was enough for me.
Yeah.
You did a little research into it.
That's right. Producer Angie has contacted the Guinness people.
Mm-hmm.
We have an application in.
So is Amy, by the way.
I'm drunk.
She sobered up long enough to call the Guinness.
Oh, she meant Guinness, the beer.
Yeah.
No wonder.
She thought.
Because I have this contract about
beer. Heard the conversation.
Yeah.
They're like, hello, Guinness. And he's like, yeah, give me a pony keg. And do you guys make 13 packs?
As long as you got a pony, you got snakes.
I said bathtub. She thought I meant gin. Turned out I meant filled with snakes.
Though this could go on a while.
She contacted the folks, the good folks at Guinness, and they said it would take 4 to 6 weeks. But we have begun the process.
What?
Well, they have to certify you, and because this guy Bibby just set the record, they can't fast track your record. So
I don't understand why it would seem better before you print something out in one of your books. Why not fast track it this way?
Think about it this way: if they just let you if they just let people break records every day, it wouldn't be a big deal. I think they have to give a little space to the record.
I came this close in, I think, 1982 to being in the Guinness Book of World Records.
What was your record?
I was the fastest man alive with nunchucks.
How do they do that?
A radar gun.
Oh, wow.
And some kind of wrap on the end of your chucks.
Really?
Yeah, unfortunately.
What year?
I believe 82. The same year I fought Billy Blanks, the guy from TV.
Mm-hmm.
A huge guy who, by the way, just beat my ass.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was the fastest man alive with nunchucks. Unfortunately, it was their first year, and I was the third guy. The next guy went faster. So when I say it was this close, if the contest would have ended right there with me, I might have made it. Mm-hmm. Then every 16-year-old with a pair of chucks beat me.
Right.
But for a moment, I was the fastest man alive.
Well, you can reclaim your glory now.
I can.
By being the dumbest.
Without skill.
I mean, the guy who...
I don't even need skill on this.
No, you just have to have huevos. But, Danny, why...
What if he bites me on the huevos? That one scares me.
Yes. How could you climb into a bathtub with 80 snakes or 90 snakes?
Honestly, because I can answer that.
Yes.
Because I said I would before I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Are you scared?
Terrified. Actually, we did a thing on the other half about what are you scared of, and I picked snakes. I'm afraid of snakes.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke before I thought, but now... That's the way I live. It's not like my code of honor. I think I'm a friggin' idiot. Don't get me wrong. I'm not, like, proud that I've done this, and this is the way I live my life. But I said, I could beat that. Now there's no way out for me. I have to do it.
All right.
4 to 6 weeks, the people from Guinness will tell us whether they've accepted our application.
How do you not accept it? I don't have to do anything but die or not.
Well, let me ask this. I don't understand. If we... chronicle it. I mean, if we have a, the equivalent of a, what do they call those folks who come and watch you sign your documents?
Notary,
right. If we have a videotape and a notary and somebody counting the snakes and everything, doesn't it count as something?
You'd think so, but these Guinness people take it very seriously. They have to certify. By the way, they just found the tallest man in the U.S.
Seven foot eight. Darren?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Jinx, owe me a coffee. Hey, Darren?
Just thinking that.
Hey, guys.
What do you have to say?
Danny should ultimately get this guy by doing this in his bedazzled women's underwear.
Mm.
Wow, you listen closely.
I think jeans is definitely the call of the day.
I don't bedazzle my underwear. Because those prongs curl in.
You could make a special occasion.
Here's what I don't want. I don't want the little things that make the bedazzle, because they're like studs, like me, that when pounded on, bend, like me. And I don't want anything poking me anywhere while I'm in a pit of vipers.
Mm-hmm.
I'll jump, I'll think something bit me, and then something will bite me. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if it adds a certain panache to be in the Guinness Book of World Records, which I'd like to be. I think that'd be interesting. I've accomplished some cool stuff, but not that. Then that's great. If you guys don't want to wait and you want to get a notary and a video camera, I'll just do it.
Adam?
I think we need to fast track this thing.
You want to fast track it?
Well, yeah.
But I also want somebody in charge to expert this.
Well, we had yesterday the guy called in that was in charge of the Texas snake man's snakes.
Okay, if that guy will set me up the same way you set him up and Adam doesn't slip a little something to make one of the snakes mad, then I'll just do it.
So you want to pick a date?
Yeah, well, I think we can't do it this second. I think we have to hash this out off the air and on the air and figure it out, because I don't know if we can do that this second, because there's a bunch of logistic whatever to do. Travis from Sacramento says, if you cool the body temp down to tame the snake. I don't know if it's their body temp or your body temp.
Somebody said it to me yesterday, cool the snake's body temp.
The reptiles get docile, I guess, if you cool them down, so I have to sun themselves up on rocks. I'm gonna be continuously jumping over the tub with one of my show horses.
Does that spook the horse?
In Westerns, it always freaks them out. All right, we need to take a break. T?
Yeah.
We'll keep you guys updated on this. What's coming up in the news?
One of our favorite shows on NBC is in jeopardy.
Mm-mm.
Is it a lot jeopardy? Of perverts in here?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No. I didn't mean to guess.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Be back with the news. There you go. Back with the news. Oh. Next.
The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Coming up this morning, Curb Your Enthusiasm's Richard Lewis.
All right. So I don't need this shit, man.
Okay. Actor David Arquette's in the studio. And Nicaragua meets New Jersey.
Whoa.
Trying to figure out which Bon Jovi song Ozzy's singing, and you get a chance to win tickets to see Bon Jovi's Lost Highway Tour. Tickets on sale this Saturday at 10 a.m. Get them at Ticketmaster or Ticketmaster.com. Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on The Adam Carolla Show.
T-Bone.
Yep.
What's in the news, girl?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
As you know, the late-night talk shows have been honoring the writer's strike this week. And initially, Ellen DeGeneres said she was going to honor the strike on her daytime show. But that lasted a grand total of one day. After honoring the strike by not showing up for work on Monday, Ellen was back to taping her show Tuesday. Ellen defended her decision to cross the picket lines at Tuesday's taping. She said, quote, "Here's what the deal is. It's sweeps, which is a very important time in television. I want to say I love my writers. I love them. In honor of them today, I'm not going to do a monologue. I support them and hope that they get everything they're asking for, and I hope it works out soon." She added, "People have traveled across the country. They've made plans. They're here. I want to do everything I can to make your trip enjoyable and give you a show." That episode
airs tomorrow.
They came
here to go to Knott's Berry Farm, and while they're here, they're going to see Ellen.
Well,
they can't see a lesbian dance from Indiana?
No.
They don't have any dancing lesbians in Indiana?
The obvious question is, she canceled those two shows.
What monologue? That's what I'm saying.
I think she does a monologue.
Haven't you ever had anybody, and tell the truth on this, have you not had anybody ever come up to you when you're walking down the street and go, "Oh my God, Adam Carolla, I've been in Hollywood all week. You're my first celebrity. I just came here from Iowa. You're the only celebrity I've seen. You've made my trip." Pretty close?
Not made, but I've heard first celebrity I've seen or that kind of thing.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
It's a big deal to people. Here's my problem with what Ellen has done.
Hmm.
Everybody's right, and I hate that. I like a winner and a loser. I like a cheater and the guy doing the right thing.
I think if you're really trying to honor your writers, you don't cross the picket line. You not delivering a monologue is not honoring your writers.
What if you do nothing written? And this is a question. This is, by the way, I don't know.
She's technically not violating. Then you don't have writers. Right. She's technically not violating what AFTRA is asking its members.
Seriously. Go ahead.
That's it. I just to clarify. AFTRA is asking its members the following. Go to work, but don't write anything more than you would normally write.
Right.
So I guess she's within the guidelines of AFTRA.
Also,
but the spirits of deals and the letter of the deal.
Yes. You were saying that this is a woman that took 2 days off because some lopso got sent to the wrong hairdresser.
Iggy
got sent to the wrong hairdresser. She can't take 2 days off for the writers. And then secondly, what monologue? She sits on her chair and she's like, "Hey, who here likes dancing?" And then there are people like, "Woo!" And she goes, "Wow. Hey, did you see? I was watching a newspaper." But they don't seem like teleprompter jokes. It's just conversation. It's the stuff we sort of do when we come in the 6 o'clock hour, a couple ideas of things you might want to talk about. But it doesn't feel like a written monologue. Maybe she's so skilled at delivering it, I can't tell.
It makes it seem improvised.
Or there's no jokes.
I imagine, though, that if you're on her team of writers, you don't feel very good about her right now.
No, I imagine you don't. I have the sneaking suspicion that she's not a great person.
I wish you were dead.
I hate to burst everyone's bubble, but it's been almost 10 years that I was telling everyone that Rosie was a horrible person.
Right.
And let's not forget there was the Cutie Patootie Chub Club going on back where Rosie'd be over there and she'd be there with Tom Cruise
the
and they'd be they'd be singing songs from Greece and doing their favorite musical numbers and she'd be handing out cupcakes to everyone. Remember that, Rosie? When that Rosie was doing that Rosie crap, I was saying to people, oh, no. There's a very dark side to this woman that you do not know about. That Rosie seems like a million years ago. That was like the old Hulk Hogan, the wrestler, versus when he started wearing a black shoe polish beard and went nasty on everybody. This, I feel, now not that big a deal with Ellen, but there's a side to her. Let's just put it this way. Someone who starts off every show by dancing.
Yeah.
There's a little overcompensation going on there, just like when Rosie was the queen of fun and the Chub Club. There's believe me, she ain't dancing when she's talking to her segment producers backstage during the commercials. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
There's a side of Ellen that is on a side of Portia de Rossi. Good enough for me.
All right.
Okay? Right there on one. And on the other half, You are absolutely right about Rosie. Now, is this one of those things like, does your boyfriend work in a batting cage and he did and nobody got how weird that was that you got that? Or did you know Rosie?
I knew people. Well,
I've known Rosie since she won Star Search. And she's a bitch.
When I see overcompensation, I can tell that they're compensating for something. Yes.
Yeah. No, she's a mean lady and always has been.
When I see Don King waving American flag, talking about the greatest country on the planet and laughing and gregarious, I think, oh, yeah, this is the guy who stomped a man to death a few years earlier. This is what you do when there's a part of you that wants to stomp people to death. You can't bring that part out on the dais. You have to go ahead and show them another side. Me, I'm boring and inconsistent, but in a consistent way, straight on through. I have a half a personality. That's all I have. I'm exactly the same on this mic as I am when I get home. Exactly the same. If I were up here talking about, oh, man, we're going to have a great time, and this is a good time. We're going to donate money to the troops, and I'm going to call a retirement home, and I'm going to go there and entertain them. I'd probably go and beat the crap out of my wife.
Right.
Still thinking about it, but too lazy. Love the TiVo too much. Point is there's a side of almost everybody who's on TV that is not that side. As a matter of fact, whenever there's too great a personality or persona formed, well, obviously, it's to compensate for something else, and it's usually the polar opposite of what lies beneath and what comes out when the cameras turn off. I'm just saying, we found out a little something about Rosie, remember?
Yeah.
All right. I think
more to
Ellen,
come about Ellen.
Ellen has some of that in her, too.
Do you really think
I am gay?
Is that just an expression that when you say, I have half a personality, that's just an expression, correct?
Well, I've always kidded when people
because I have three and they make me take medicine.
I'm talking about the side. You know, when people talk about your astrological sign.
Yeah.
And I'm a
Gemini.
Thank you. And I have two personalities, but I always say I just have half. I really have two.
Chris Hansen at least has
three.
That's how much we love his personality. He's on that To Catch a Predator series on Dateline NBC.
Right.
And now it's in jeopardy. Here's what's going on. Perverted Justice, the group that helps Dateline conduct those sting operations.
Good name for TSV.
A lot of perverts in here.
That was the echo of TSV right there.
Wow, what if it sounded like Chris Hansen? Says NBC has, quote, expressed uncertainty as to whether or not they'll continue doing the segments. That comes from documents filed by Perverted Justice with the IRS seeking tax-exempt status. Perverted Justice, by the way, is made up of three people. They each get paid $120,000 a year. Last year, NBC paid Perverted Justice more than $800,000 for 7 sting operations, or roughly $115,000 per sting. I don't know how that breaks down per pervert.
I was in a band in high school called Perverted Justice. We covered Jovi songs.
Sorry. I was going to just say, you usually do the radio math. I was wondering if you can break down the price pervert.
They got $800,000 for three.
$800,000.
How many stings? Seven? How many
seven stings.
Seven stings.
So that's $800,000
right.
For seven stings.
Right.
How many verts in a sting?
So it's about 115, 114, let's say 114, 113 and a half or something per sting operation. My math is right.
Well, anyway. They must bust. So let's say it's 100 and change. 113,000 bucks per sting, and then each sting. Well, I don't know how many they show on TV versus how many they actually bust, because they probably bust, and they do mention we busted 56 guys in the Sacramento area, but they only show six guys.
Well, let's go with the six then. Let's go with the public, what the public sees. How much is NBC paying per perp?
Well, they're paying about 18 grand per perp if you're going six. Maybe a 19 grand,
God,
something
like that.
That
seems like a deal.
Well worth it.
She makes gazillions.
I think people get uptight when...
They have to Taft-Hartley all the guys in, by the way.
That's right, to the union. Mm-hmm. People probably get uptight when a nonprofit makes a lot of money. And obviously, NBC infused a ton of cash into this group, Perverted Justice. And now things are getting a little bit ugly. There's a magazine, Radar. Mm-hmm. And they've gotten into it with the CEO from Perverted Justice. Radar wanted to ask the CEO about some of their consulting
fees.
The
guy from MASH?
Can I just say this overall? Don't we have any real problems? You know, once in a while you hear about this stuff where it's like, hey, man, George Clooney and Ed Begley Jr. are trying to tell you to put in compact fluorescent bulbs, but I saw George Clooney fly to Cannes in a private jet. So what?
Now it drives me crazy.
Hey, you know, the lady from Mothers Against Drunk Driving, she got a ticket. She got a DUI. So what? What does that mean? So, okay, genius. Should we start providing alcohol for young drivers now? Look, do we not want pedophiles busted?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
we can all agree on that.
Okay, there's some I's that weren't dotted or some T's that weren't crossed. Who gives a flying F?
Well, I think you'll like the response from the nonprofit CEO, Xavier Von Erk. After Radar Magazine contacted him about his consulting fees, he was Von Erked.
Right.
He said this. Thanks for contacting us for comment, John. Unfortunately, you're not a legitimate reporter. You're just a rather scummy fellow who writes for a tabloid rag. Other than being told that you're a scummy hack who resembles a stalker more than a journalist, we don't have any comment for you.
Good. Good.
Nice. I don't even know that I agree, but I think it was bitching that he said it.
Yes.
Unexpected.
Sounds like a Bond villain. Xavier Von Erk.
Von Erk.
Gentlemen. The reason I've asked you here. I always want to have those meetings where I just stroke a Persian cat at the end of the table. Gentlemen, the reason I've asked you here is we all have a problem.
Is it evil?
His name is James Bond. I'm Xavier Von Erk. When I'm not trying to rule the universe, I work for a nonprofit organization called Perverted Justice, pervertedjustice.org. No, Professor Von Trapp, that would be .org, .com, that would be a company, .org. This is a nonprofit. Anyway, let's not bore ourselves with the details.
Von Trapp has the guy trying to get away from the Nazis and the kids singing, isn't he?
Right.
Yes.
Because I'm Von Erked about those people. And I'm frilly dresses and singing those songs on the mountain.
Dog the Bounty Hunter continues his mea culpa tour. And last night, stopping by Larry King to apologize for the racial slurs he used whilst ordering his son Tucker to dump his African-American girlfriend Monique.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is talking to Larry King last night.
You know, I hate to say this about my kids to tell about their girlfriends, but none of my Anglo-Saxon children, boys, have any Anglo-Saxon wives or girlfriends.
They don't.
No, they don't. So nowadays, I can't use it. Back then, I would have said, if you bring someone in, you know, let me explain to them that I may say that, but it doesn't mean that. And because I thought there was such an explanation, there is not.
How are you going to feel if Tucker marries this young lady?
He better marry her.
You want him to marry her.
He better marry her after what we're going through right now. He better marry her.
Good answer for an idiot, because he doesn't know that he's being clever, I don't think.
I don't know.
He's the sweetest guy in all the world, but he's an idiot.
Well, possibly. Go ahead.
Well, he doesn't know that he's being clever?
I don't think so, no.
Is he being clever?
Or is he being earnest?
He better marry her. After all this, he better marry her. I think he's being funny. It's the equivalent of...
Maybe.
In a way, I'll give you something to cry about.
Yeah, except for, I mean, I think that's something he'd say off camera, perhaps, although I don't know if he speaks at all off camera anymore without checking for bugging devices. I don't know. Let me hear it again, because
I thought it was just more bending over backwards ass kissing. Like, I love the black.
So the question is he being earnest or is he being funny?
I think he's being funny. I think he's saying, after what I've, how bad I screwed myself, he better marry her.
No, they don't. So nowadays, I can't use it. Back then, I would have said, if you bring someone in, you know, let me explain to them that I may say that, but it doesn't mean that. And because I thought there was such an explanation, there is not.
How are you going to feel if Tucker marries this young lady?
He better marry her.
You want him to marry her?
He better marry her after what we're going through right now. He better marry her.
What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I thought I was right up until the last one.
His first better marry her
sounded funny. The last one sounded like it's, he better marry her.
Here's all I'm saying. He is in a major bailout campaign for his career and his reputation. So I think what he's trying to say, you know, I always try to read what does the person have to get out of it? You know, he's there to repair his reputation. He's saying, I love all black people. If he's in love, I want him to marry this woman. That's what his publicist wants him to say. So that's what I'm assuming. It's funny. And her Monique, is that like M-O apostrophe something? Please tell me it's a crazy Monique spelling.
I believe it's the traditional Monique spelling.
I would pay $50 for her name to be LaQuisha.
Mm.
Just be more fun.
Not Dog great. The Bounty Hunter mm-hmm. has another son, not Tucker, but Chris. Now, Chris has also sold a story to the National Enquirer about his pops being a drug-abusing racist. Now, Chris has got a problem mm-mm. because Dog's his inheritance from Dog will disappear if Dog's reputation is not saved. So while several months ago he was trashing his dad, now he's on the mea culpa tour with his dad. Here he is on Larry King last night.
Tucker's after the same thing I was, fast money. You know,
except he had a tape dad, using the word on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still.
And I presume that he caught Dad in a foul mood and knew that exactly what Dad was going to say and how he's going to react. And I don't think that Tucker understands the kind of devastation that this is bringing to our family and to my father, to my dad's heart. And that's why I'm here, is to help my dad let people know that this is not Dog. Dog is a good man. He has many followers out there.
I mean, that's his inheritance. He was going to be rich when Dog died, right?
Right.
Yeah, Dog's never going to die.
Dog looks like he died like in March.
Right, and no one's going to tell him he's going to be Larry King.
And Dog, who's alive?
Whoo, man, that is haggard on haggard right there.
There's no plasma.
Although I got to tell you, because of my daughter watching his show, which I shouldn't allow, but she thinks he's Uncle Dog. I saw a guy hit him once hard, and he stepped back a step, and that was his whole reaction. So he may be a geezer, but this hotel owner, like this crack hotel owner,
he's filled with powdered blood. There's nothing in his veins.
He got cracked and literally just stepped back a step and then continued to speak. That's not quite
bad. He's wearing a helmet for hair.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's wearing like an old-style Prussian helmet
also
worth of hair.
Filled with feathers and clips.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good breeze. Take that guy right up like Sally, whatever her name was.
Adam, I want to give you...
Sally Fields, yeah.
I want to give you a preview of what you're going to be watching on Sunday, because I know you sit with your wife and you watch all the TiVo episodes of The View.
I watch The View and I watch Oprah.
Damon Wayans was on, and he was surprisingly controversial.
Huh?
Yeah, yesterday he defended Don Imus.
He was on The View?
Yeah. Mm-mm. Damon Wayans defending Don Imus.
When he called them nappy-headed hoes, I went, wow. He's right.
Yeah.
But, no,
see, we say that. I'm saying the black people can say that about each other, but you know what?
These girls are not hoes. They hardly respected
Listen. You know what? Black people at home laughing right now. White people are sitting there going, well, that's not right. You know?
He's doing the white guy voice.
Doing the white guy voice.
Hold on.
The white guy voice.
Mark the date.
Let's see, 7:27 and 58 seconds. What's
yes,
the
hello.
Day?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
I've never heard a black comedian do their work guy voice. Well, this is good stuff. Somebody ought to work it into their stand-up routine.
Yeah, they really should, and then they should do a whole thing about Miss Black America. It's always good, too.
Let me say this. Yeah. First off, what nobody talks about with the whole Imus thing is his producer was the one who introduced the nappy headed or the hose or something into the conversation.
Yeah, he called them tough broads.
Imus was kind of ready to let it go when somebody else did the news and brought up the Rutgers women or whoever, was it Rutgers?
Yeah.
Now, he was ready to let it go, and then his producer kind of leaned in and said, those are some tough hoes or some nappy-headed something.
Nappy-headed something. He said they're tough broads.
And then what Imus did is then doubled back, picked up, almost parroted.
Yep.
You do that thing where you're talking on the phone. Right. And you have the TV on in the background, and there's some guy shouting, no money down, no money down, no money down. And then you're talking to the guy on the phone, and he says, you want to see a movie? And you go, I'm down. I'm down with that. Right. You know, it's the way the human mind works. The words slip through. They're introduced. You have to speak on the fly. You're not reading a teleprompter. If somebody's going to talk about a topic and use words next to you, oftentimes those words will find their way into what comes out of your mouth. So his producer, who we never talk about, is the guy who brought up the offensive term in the first place, standing 4 feet away from Don Imus. And Don Imus is getting old to the point where he's essentially a minor bird.
Yeah.
He ain't a mega bird like me. He's a minor bird.
He's playing cards with Dog and Larry King.
Yeah, he just sits on there with those funky old earphones, the kind they'd give you for free when you flew Pan Am, and they gave you a little sack the Beatles would carry off the plane so it doesn't mess up his weird old man hair with his stupid cowboy hat. Right. He insists on wearing, he dresses like a Bon Jovi song, and he sits there on a steel stool he rides.
Don't even go there.
He's seen a thousand faces. He's rocked them all.
He talks into a six mic or whatever he does. The point is he just sits there with that dumb cowboy hat on and a duster like he comes from some. By the way, he climbs out of a limousine wearing a duster and a cowboy hat. Fantastic. Sports the boots, walks into the place, puts on the funky Pan Am earphones circa 1962, and then talks at a very slow pace about stuff no one cares about anymore. But he was mimicking what his producer brought up.
Absolutely.
And
from the very beginning of that.
He would have never said nappy-headed hoe if the stupid white guy next to him hadn't said nappy hoe or nappy hose or headed or something. They said
I'm pretty
that.
Sure he said what happened. I believe if I remember this correctly, because I caught it right away. Don Imus called them a bunch of tough broads. And then the producer in the background said, yeah, they're a bunch of nappy-headed, and I believe he said broads. He didn't say hoes, but he said nappy-headed. And then I was repeating, yeah, I'm nappy-headed hoes, just to repeat his producer and try and stay young and hip or whatever.
Yeah,
but it's the producer that brought that on.
Absolutely. So not only, I mean, here's the point. How big a racist can you be if you weren't even going to say anything and then somebody just introduced it 4 seconds earlier and you just parroted it?
Well, Dog is certainly making Imus seem like he's the head of the NAACP.
They both have great hair. That's the important
thing.
That
is what unites them. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
They're both men in their 50s and 60s who dress like 14-year-olds.
From different parts of the country.
Well, right.
I've got 2 years.
That's the beauty of it.
I'm a 50-year-old man dressed like a 14-year-old.
By the way, since when is 15 and a half a 14-year-old, Danny? All right, we need to take ourselves a break.
My lawyer said a 15 and a half-year-old was an 18-year-old once.
When we come back, Richard Lewis... Richard Lewis from Curb Your Enthusiasm and many, many other things. Richard Lewis on the show next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
I have the irregular heart thing, and this is not a good thing. I'm a recovering alcoholic.
Yeah.
All very bad.
We're doing the litany now. What else?
I can give you the litany. Want to know what my cholesterol was? 272.
And now, Curb Your Enthusiasm's Richard Lewis.
I mean, I don't have a wife. I don't have, you know.
My parents are dead. You have a family.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to speak to you, Richard.
Hey, listen, let me ask you something. First of all, it's always great to speak to you. And my wife just woke up, which is a tragedy because, you know, she'll start heckling me if she hears me. You know, I don't care. It's my career.
No.
Now, getting married has been, you know, I think she's a lesbian because how could she even sleep with me? It's just, it's ridiculous.
I don't like being shushed in my own house. I just had twins.
No, she gets it, but she's very funny. And then, I mean, but I tell her, I said, I'm on radio. I'm on with Adam. Just go on the treadmill. Let me alone. I can't take it.
I've said,
how much can you love somebody?
Some of us have said,
can you love somebody?
Marriage is a treadmill, buddy. You just run and run and run, and you don't get anywhere.
That's why I waited until I got into my 50s. I knew that I had to just. So I sowed oats for Mormons. I went really. I did every pot, and so I have all these guys my age where then they divorce their wives. And they're with people like, you know, 8, they're 14. How old are you? You're 16, you know, the wives are 15.
I know.
I
hell, politicians are doing that now.
Been there, done it. You know, my wife's beautiful. She's not half my age. She knows who like Jonathan Winters is. She was born. I drew the line in the sand with Dog Day Afternoon. I said, if you weren't born before that movie, you know, forget it. You know, when I had to explain to them what, you know, how good Pacino is, I couldn't take it anymore.
It is funny when you have that conversation with people who have never heard of. They know Pacino. They know him from Ocean's 13.
Right.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
They don't know he made a movie before that. They'll break the news. Hey, there's this young, hot prospect of an actor. I saw him in Ocean's 13. This guy's on the rise.
Yeah, you know what I used to do? And I'm not proud of this. Because I got married really, really late. But I mean, and I really love my wife. But the deal is, I was so controlling. I would like almost be like keep women hostage. I go, you're watching every Stanley Kubrick movie this week, or it's over.
And I hate being this much like you. Hey,
get
Richard,
on your knees, scumbag.
It's Bonaducci. How you doing, man?
Hey, man. Hey, listen. Let me just do this. First of all, I do a lot of charitable work, and I will say that I'm not boasting. But for my kind of humor, it's humiliating to stand on stage and to just put yourself down. When you're trying to raise money for people who, you know, really need it.
Well, what do we...
Just dig this. Let me just get this out because it's really important. I'm on the middle of this like endless road tour, but this is really important. That's why... And thanks for having me on. You guys are great. Peter Boyle was a great friend of mine. And anyone who's watched... Just watch Young Frankenstein. Everyone in the whole world has seen it. And you know that this genius there, just with one grunt or that song, you know...
Right.
The guy is a genius.
Putting on the Ritz.
And
right.
One of the great guys. So it's... celebrating his life with it, and it's going to, and Romano and the whole show is going to be there, and
Martin Short, Jeff Garland,
and
Fred
Garland
Willard,
and I from Curb, and see what's going to happen. Here's the deal: Ray's going to host it, and the whole and Fred Willard. It's going to be it's this Saturday night at the Wilshire U Bell Theater. It's like 4400 Wilshire, about 7:30, 8 o'clock. It's going to be a great night. It's celebrating Peter, because he died from this horrible bone cancer, and it's the International Myeloma, it's MYELOMA, I'm half asleep, and IMF.org, and you can just click on, anybody who's got thrills from this genius, it's his foundation, every dime's going to help the people that have it and to find the cure. It's going to be a great night this Saturday. But here's the deal.
Yes.
Martin Short, you know, it's on Broadway. You know, all these people that, you know, and Ray's hosting, and he's, you know, I am a provocative, dirty, self-deprecating, I'm going to, you know, the whole charity could implode. You know
right.
What I mean?
Yeah.
And I told one, you know, some of the founders, I said, look, I give to charities, I donate, I'm telling you. If I come on stage and talk about my marriage and then talk about the administration in Iraq, I'm telling you, everyone's going to... What if they start, you know, the whole thing...
No, they know you do your act at these charities. You
I
don't
have
just...
no idea, but if you're looking
he's
at...
He's got no act.
Really,
he has no act?
He has no act.
Now, Richard Lewis, you make an interesting point, which is that are you still allowed to be depressed when people have bone cancer?
I asked them, I said, I can't change. I'm not going to come on like a clown from Ringling Brothers. And make believe that I'm happy.
I think it's important, but you can't point at kids in wheelchairs and yell, you think you have problems.
That would be a horrible segue.
Dude, I laugh so hard. I think you should do exactly that.
Well, so, can I ask?
It's a horrible bone cancer thing. But the point is, I said, are you sure you want me? Because I've been doing this for 37 years. I'm not. I can't change who I am. If people want to come pay and see me, that's great. That's why I'm doing it. Right. And that, I hope that people will come. But when you follow like Martin Short and Patricia Heaton and Doris Rott and Fred Willard and Short will do this like a Broadway play and all.
Right. Well, Heaton will go scat halfway into it. Yeah. Patricia Heaton, she'll start talking about having sex with a lifeless corpse.
She works blue.
She'll drop some N-bombs. Oh, yeah. You go after Heaton.
Hey, let me tell you something. If my only hope. Is not first of all. I want to, we want to make a lot of money. My only hope is that everyone on the bill has a nervous breakdown.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Really, because I am. There's no way I'm not going to be Richard Lewis on that stage.
Well, let me give out the number quickly here, Richard, for those who want to go see
your advice.
An all-star show on Saturday night over at the Ebell Wilshire Theater, 800-452-CURE, C-U-R-E. You can get tickets. I imagine you ought to hurry up because this is kind of an all-star lineup.
A huge lineup.
Either any one of these people could fill this theater alone, and there'll be 10 of them together.
Yeah, matter of fact, I think the cast of this can fill the theater. Just with cast.
Romano would punch me if I got too blue.
Yes, I definitely. I think what they're going to do is they're going to have the Sandman, an elderly black guy with a hook, and he's going to run out on stage and grab you when you're 15 minutes into talking about your parents' divorce, and just they'll strike up the band and Ray Romano will run out.
Should have gotten divorced. That's the problem.
Oh, they didn't get divorced?
No, they tortured each other.
This will go over well.
People in our generation now we're going to stay married until the kids are out of high school. And meanwhile, they're throwing pitchforks at each other in the morning. It's get out of a bad relationship.
It is true. It's like a mongoose and a snake living in the same cage and saying, we'll break up when the kid goes off to finishing school.
What is that theory? It's so stupid.
I agree.
I mean, I'm doing a charity. These people, we're looking for a cure. If you're healthy enough and you're in a bad relationship, you got to be out of your mind to stay in it.
No, I'll tell you, it's the one dignified thing my parents did. They got a divorce very early on.
How old were you?
I think it was about 7 or 8.
Oh, so that's why you're so out of your mind.
Yeah, that's what's wrong with me.
Wait a second. Richard Lewis, are you calling Adam depressed?
No, I didn't say he was depressed. I mean, he has a lot of problems.
Like what?
A lot of issues.
Like what? This is fun.
I think he has a lot of dark secrets. I mean, stop with that.
Yeah, don't put the boy on the spot. I'm a gay man.
Well, besides that.
You call me a boy, or you have an old black man with a hook. What's happening with you? You are absolutely falling apart.
It's the turn of the century over here.
Yeah, the 18th.
Beautiful. Hey, someone's a big fan of Richard Lewis's.
Lord knows I am.
Hey, Josie?
Yes, hi, good morning.
You say all praise Richard Lewis?
Yes, I think he's amazing.
You better be positive because I'm really very fragile right now.
No, I think you're hilarious. I love you and Curb Your Enthusiasm. But I think my most ultimate was on Men of Tights, where the mole
Men in Tights.
Men in Tights. Right.
Where the mole in your face kept moving around every time.
I know. That's all Mel Brooks. What can I say? And Peter Boyle. But nothing tops Peter Boyle as Frankenstein. Come on.
Yeah, that's maybe a Mel Brooks moment.
In history.
Did Peter Boyle die in 06? Because
Last year.
He died
from this disease. That's why we put in, and he has a foundation. That's why.
I don't feel like he's been dead for a year. Huh? Maybe it was at the end of last year
Probably at the end. I don't know the exact date. I blocked those things out because it was so depressing. I mean, I knew he was ill, but, such a great guy. And we're both from New York, so diehard Knicks fans. And even if the team was, of course, hasn't won a championship since, forget about it.
Right.
But I mean, we'd still be sitting there, and he was like a really loyal guy, great friend, loyal guy. Just it's just one of the and his wife is really carrying on this foundation under his name, so it's all good.
Well, show respect for a man who has brought you lot of entertainment over the years.
I couldn't articulate it that way because if my parents got divorced, I would have been clearer. about it. But I'm saying that I'm was teasing you. You were lucky that your parents were smart enough to get divorced.
Yes.
Yeah, my parents were married 22 years before they got divorced, and actually it was horrible from the day I can remember.
Right.
I didn't get divorced for 17 years. As a matter of fact, I'm not still legally divorced. It'll be another 60 days.
Oh, what are you waiting for? Oh, it's a legal thing, you mean?
Yeah. I'll be divorced in another 60 days.
Congratulations.
But
congratulations, by the way, to both of you. I congratulate people like, I hate people that go, oh.
No, good for you, but I want you to know you've convinced me of something.
What?
I have this new girlfriend, and she is, in fact, half my age. And she's not a trophy girlfriend.
You deserve it. You know,
no. She's not a trophy girlfriend or anything like that. She's a school teacher. I didn't have any idea how young she was.
Her last name is Trophy.
She actually thinks Pacino is something you get at Starbucks.
But here's the problem. When
Sophie
you said
Trophy's
that,
a great girl.
When you said that, I said to her one night trying to tell her how I run my life and what I think about my career, I said, she said, why are you so dressed up? And I said, I'm doing Larry King. And she said, I don't think you need to wear the tie. And she said, I said to her, Carson always said, show a little respect, wear a tie.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me and she said, Carson Daly never said that. And I thought I was going to gouge your eyes out.
No, listen, well, come on. You can't expect somebody 13 to know Carson.
She's a school teacher.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, it's just she's 15.
It is true. I don't know why, but if I ever, any young woman I've ever dated, I've always sat down and showed her the movie Slapshot. I don't know why. No one has seen it who was born,
that
you know.
Speaks volumes.
Who stars
that's
in
a great movie.
Paul Newman.
I showed the in-laws. When I married Gretchen, I showed her the in-laws, and I said, if she doesn't laugh at all the right parts, I'm leaving her.
Yeah.
I show
she shouldn't
only
have laughed.
Dark, really dark, depressing movie. You know, most Cassavetes, Ingmar Bergman.
Yes.
I need people to know that if they can get through these movies, they are living with someone who's going to make their life so miserable.
He shows them seven.
Them.
He shows them seven on their wedding night.
All right, Richard, we need to take a break.
I know
but
you do.
I will.
Thank you so much on Peter's behalf.
Always a pleasure. The great Richard Lewis.
See you, Richard.
Curb Your Enthusiasm is where you can find him. But if you can't wait until Sunday night, you go Saturday. That's this Saturday. It's at the Wilshire, I think it's Ebell Theater.
It's Ebell.
Yes, theater. 800.
Far from here, right?
Well, it's on Wilshire, so it's got to be right up or down the street. 452-CURE. 800-452-CURE for a very worthy cause. Now, when we come back, I think what we're going to do since we got into this IMUS thing, since we pulled the scab off this IMUS thing in the news about 20 minutes ago, I was discussing the part that no one discusses, which is his producer introducing the word nappy or ho or nappy headed or and or ho. I can't remember what it is.
I'm betting nappy headed.
He said something. Yeah, I think he said nappy headed. And then Imus put a little cherry on his sundae with ho. But it's almost not even, I don't want to say not Imus's fault. Imus wouldn't have said it, I think was ready to move on, and then his producer sort of introduced this. I can't remember, and I bet you can't either, so I will play you the actual on-air tape, and we'll break it down next.
Quotes with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
Avenge me.
If you said Red Dawn,
Avenge me!
You're correct. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
It was a classic scene from Red Dawn where the dad was in a prison camp, like a gulag, and they snuck away from their hideaway up in the hills, and they came down to, essentially, they crossed the DMZ and went into hostile territory under the cover of darkness. And they went through the little fence with the barbed wire and everything on it, and they talked to their dad through the fence. And they said, don't worry, Papa. We're up in the hills. We're hidden away. We got provisions and canned beans. We're going to fight the good fight. And the dad was like, what are you, stupid? Come in here. You can't show your face around here. They'll capture you and throw you in the gulag. And then 2 minutes later, he was screaming at the top of his lungs, Avenge me!
Avenge me!
Right.
Avenge me!
I'm surprised Swayze didn't stop. I'm like, hey, old man! Jesus Christ! I'm 8 foot away from the fence! There's Ruskies all over the effing place.
Who am I going to yell avenge me to if they catch me?
How about you keep it down a dull roar, you old geezer? Jesus Christ. How about a note? How about you next time slip me a note that says avenge me?
What was that? Ignore me? Ignore me?
Just quiet down, you chatty Kathy. It's great writing because a minute and a half earlier, it's like, what are you boys doing down here? You shouldn't show your faces around here. Now quiet. Avenge me!
I'm unable to control the pitch or volume of my voice.
All right, where were we? We were talking about Imus. And I don't know, I think we were talking about dog and somehow that led me into Imus. But the part about the Imus story that everyone forgets is his producer, T.
Yeah, Bernard McGurk.
Who introduced the word, he says, hardcore ho. And then Imus says, nappy-headed ho. I don't think Imus would have said ho, to tell you the truth.
I don't think you'd know what one was.
And I think he would have said nappy-headed. And that's racial, but not enough to get you pulled off the air.
No, it's the name of a hair salon right down the street.
And hardcore ho, not racial enough to get you pulled off the air because hardcore says white to me, doesn't say black. Ho says black. I would be confused.
Hardcore says rocker.
Yeah, if someone said to me, those are some hardcore hoes, I would picture chicks going down to Gazzari circa 1987 dressed up in leather mini skirts with big hair.
Look at the grin on my face. Because guess where I was?
If you could only remember that.
Well, yeah. I've got a couple of marks.
But let's just listen to how it went down. Now, keep in mind, you'll hear Imus, but you'll hear Bernie McGurk, the producer, I believe, say hardcore ho right before Imus says nappy-headed ho.
So I watched the basketball game last night between a little bit of Rutgers and Tennessee, the women's final.
Yeah, Tennessee won last night. Seventh championship for Pat Summitt. Man, they beat Rutgers by 13 points.
Some rough girls from Rutgers, man. They got tattoos and
some hardcore hoes.
That's some nappy-headed hoes there. I'm going to tell you that now. Oh, man, that's some...
Hey, I think Imus was going to move on, and the guy leaned in, the producer, and said hardcore hoes.
How can I have forgotten that he says Rutgers?
He has a speech impediment.
I don't remember that from the first time this was in the news.
Yeah, they're the Rutgers Wascally Wabbits. So every time they make the playoffs, he takes the week off work.
Especially if they win.
I think what reminded you of this was Damon Wayans on The View saying that the girls were, in fact.
Yeah,
I can't even bring myself to say
that.
That
is not my argument. My argument is, you have to sit here for 4 hours and talk off the top of your head. And sometimes people entertain or introduce ideas into your conversation and something goes flying out. And why we're combing over everything with a fine-tooth comb, I don't know. Again, actions, words, but actions. Go find Imus doing something that is racially based and throw him off the air. Saying something stupid off the top of your head when, especially, his synapses aren't firing correct.
Yeah.
His brain is fried from wearing too many cowboy hats. Leave the guy alone.
Do you remember what he almost was fired for or was at least told by his bosses, you have to stop talking about this? His ranch for children with cancer.
Right.
That's all he would talk about was his ranch for children with cancer.
Right.
And he'd say it over and over. One time a producer says that, and he slips out by repeating it because he's an old geese, and they dump him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he spent 2 years on this ranch that cost him a bunch of his own money for sick children. He's a decent guy. He's just befuddled and old now.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's decent, but I don't think he knew what he was saying. He was obviously parroting it back.
Right. Hey, I think someone's calling in. Hey, Imus, is this Imus?
Yeah, good morning, Adam.
Good
morning.
Right.
Good morning, Danny.
This is a thrill. Don Imus on the blower.
4 minutes now after the hour.
Yeah.
I was wondering what time it was.
Yeah, so Don, are you back on the air or are you going back on the air?
Well, I'm going to be back on the air. I'm going to be back on December 3rd. Mm-hmm. And you're exactly right. I mean, my bald-headed Nazi producer, Bernard McGurk, that bald-headed moron... I mean, he was the one who said nappy-headed ho. I mean, I wouldn't have said it if he hadn't said it. So, I mean, you know, the I man just said...
Yeah, you didn't even know what a ho was before he brought that up.
I thought a ho was like a hostess, you know, a tasty cake snack.
Yeah, ho-ho. Ho squared. Yeah.
Yeah, but I was watching that Rutgers basketball game, man.
Yeah, no, I think it is Rutgers. I think your sports guy just dropped the
Rutgers game, and yeah. I'll tell you, those girls are slamming and jamming underneath those boards, man.
Well, Imus, what do you think of what's happened with Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Yeah. Well, the guy is an absolute moron.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what he said is nothing like what the I-Man said. I mean, I just went on there and said the girls from Tennessee looked like they didn't want to lose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were afraid they were going to get shanked in the parking lot by the Rutgers basketball team.
I don't want to correct you, Dan, but I think it's Rutgers.
Oh, Rutgers, right. Yeah,
right.
I apologize.
Right.
Well, it's very early. I don't know what in the God's name I'm doing on the phone with you.
No, I think he's actually confused. He's trying to say what girls. He's not sure what we're talking about.
Danny, I don't know what the hell I'm saying, but you're used to that, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Yes,
I guess
sir,
we
I am.
Both have a brain that's fried, you idiot.
Okay, now leave the douche man out of this.
Yeah, especially when I have a job and it's in the morning. But go ahead.
Emphasis on douche.
All right.
Right,
I'm just
throwing down.
Come on, we're all CBS men here.
Wait. Trying to recognize the sound.
I mean, good.
That's
God
my
almighty.
Paycheck.
Good God Almighty! I'm doing a show with one lung. Well, you guys, as far as I can tell, you've all got two lungs, don't you?
Well, I think there's six altogether. Yeah.
Yeah. The I-Man doing it with one lung. Bit.
I didn't know the I-Man just had one lung.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 7 minutes now after the hour.
Oh, it is 7 after the hour.
So smooth how he does
he is
that.
Good.
You want to do some weather, some traffic, or something like that?
Yeah, 7 minutes after the hour now. It's in the morning all over the world on the Adam Carolla Show, and of course, syndicated on, I guess I'm not on MSNBC anymore, but this fog is going to lift. June gloom's going to go away. Going to look for a nice day with a high of about 75 degrees. And it's 69 right now in Los Angeles with Imus in the morning. And 7 minutes now after the hour.
Turn the corner on Imus.
I know.
I didn't know he was this good.
Yeah.
Well,
my brain's fried.
He does seem to have a problem with you, though, Danny. I don't know why.
He always has.
Yeah, Teresa, what are you looking like, baby?
I'm all right.
Oh, she's better and all right.
Have you seen my wife, Deirdre?
Beautiful.
She's got an absolutely retarded cookbook. I mean, she had time to waste.
I don't want to correct you, but I think you mean we taught it.
Oh, we taught it. Cookbook. Put out there, and it's just totally stupid.
10,000 ways to cook chili for a geezer.
I mean, it's just absolutely dumb. I mean, she's just a moron.
How to serve steak through a straw.
All right. Hey, Don, we really appreciate you calling in on short notice.
Well, it's been a real pleasure being on your show this morning.
You want to give the time out one more time?
I sure do. 8 minutes after the hour in the Office in the Morning program.
And again, I do, well, it's the Adam Carolla Show, but I do think you got jobbed a little with your producer, and you know what?
Well, he's a bald-headed Nazi freak. I mean, he's got a whole lot of anger.
The fact that you didn't bring it up, because I would have screamed that the second I sat down with Larry King, I would say, A, I'm not a racist, and B, I'm old, I don't know what I'm saying, and I got a guy yelling into my headphones, ho, and I just parroted it.
Well, it just came out, but Larry King, I mean, good God almighty, that guy has got to be 95. It looks like a bullfrog.
He makes you look like an extra from High School Musical.
I mean, that guy is just, I mean, good God
Pot
almighty.
Yeah, all right, Don, we'll go out on a laugh. Oh, wait a minute, quickly. Let him just give the time out one more time. What time is it, Don?
9 minutes, however.
Woo! Imagine a smell of death in the room when Imus sits down there with Larry King. And you just see the Grim Reaper running the board, you know. just a vulture lands on Larry's shoulder. That's what Larry ought to do for sweeps. Have Imus on and just have a vulture on his shoulder the entire time, but you never mention it. It's never discussed. It's just a vulture. It just sits there.
What?
And then every once in a while, the Grim Reaper comes by and warms up like Don's coffee or something, but there's never discussion. Never mention. I don't know how many horsemen, the three of the apocalypse come by and, on steeds. But again, no mention. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Wait a minute. Sam says Imus got what he deserved. Hold on one quick second. Sam?
Yes.
Why did he get what he deserved?
do you really think that was the only time Imus said anything like that?
He's been saying stuff like that
constantly. They were just waiting for an opportunity. It was on a higher platform.
Yeah.
They found an opportunity, and they got him.
No, I understand he's provocative, but I don't know. Do you really think he's a racist, or is he just trying to be edgy and stir things up?
Right. Yeah, he's not a racist necessarily, but he provokes racism. When you say things like that, people are influenced by that.
I don't know, though, because someone says something stupid and then the world is outraged, and I don't think that makes it attractive.
Yeah, not necessarily stupid, but he's been saying things on a consistent basis.
I mean, it's an interesting question, which is, you know, when Cameron Diaz gets a new handbag and drags it down the red carpet, then all the young girls want to go get that handbag.
Right.
But when an old geezer drops a racial slur, does there a bunch of young skinheads who go, I want to be like this 60-year-old guy in the cowboy hat? I mean, I understand if you're sitting around talking constantly about a certain race being inferior, how that would influence listeners or factions of your listeners. But saying something, you know, me calling Danny a WOP,
right,
does that influence anyone in any way? Do you know what I'm saying?
Or
do we just think maybe
I'm Italian?
I'm an idiot. Hey Sam, I'm no fan of Imus. I just think the guy's kind of slow and boring, but I just think he's trying to be provocative, and that's what got him into trouble. Hey Sam.
Yes.
Keep listening. I'm no racist.
I love you. I love you to death. You and Danny are the greatest.
Thank you.
But How about the Jew?
You don't like Jews?
I don't like white people.
We're just going to go out on that high. Sam hates Jews.
Yeah. People are rednecks.
And he speaks for all black people. We need to take a break. Ooh, David Arquette.
I saw him walk by.
Yeah.
I got a note that said Arquette is. We were going to do Nicaraguan Name That Tune, but you saw Arquette walk by.
I'm looking at him right now.
Oh, well, then we'll bring
and he's surprisingly handsome. That's weird. I didn't expect that. I expected that, you know, the bright red suits and stuff. He's, like, got the growth on the beard. He's like a full-on guy.
He almost looks like a male. I agree. No, he is surprisingly handsome. He's spry and has a certain je ne sais quoi that allows him to get the ladies.
Oh, don't get all Frenchy on me.
We'll take a quick break.
Frogs.
David Arquette in studio next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. And now the Ace Man welcomes David Arquette to the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, David Arquette.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Adam.
David Arquette, Danny. A stand-up guy. David Arquette called me at home, I think it was last week, when he had to break a date with us. And he said, sorry, I wasn't there. Hope you're not offended. And I said, wow, it's really nice of you to call me at home and extend that. So I said, by all means, come on back this week. And here he is.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't typically do that, but like three things went wrong that I missed.
I will say this. Once I called David insane, and he burst in while I was on the air, and it's a long story, but a famous story. But, David, you seem to be getting saner over the years to the point where you're now actually flirting with sane.
Yeah, I am.
Is it the family man thing? Is there something you're not doing anymore, or are you doing more of something else?
No, I don't know. I am growing up, and being a father definitely makes you sort of be father-like.
Crap.
Yes.
I got two kids. Didn't have any effect on me at all.
No. Yeah, I mean, is it that? Is it Courtney? Is it the kids? Is it the responsibility? I mean, do you feel like you just can't do what you did in the past because there's people depending on you?
Well, at a certain point, you do have to kind of grow up.
Yes.
Danny? No.
I said the man was handsome, and I stand by it, but everything he says is wrong.
No, I'm just joking. But, no, I still like to have fun, and I still, you know, I have a good time. But, yeah, it's different. Your priorities change, and, you know, I don't know. I'm still nuts.
Yeah. Now the Arquette family is colorful. They're sort of enigmatic, interesting group of performers, right? I mean, everyone's an artist.
Yeah. Our family actually acting goes back to vaudeville. My great grandfather, Augustus Arquette, was a on Broadway. I mean, in vaudeville.
Hello, baby. Hello,
that's him.
Hello,
yeah. So, and, they had a whole act, and it was crazy. And then they raised my grandfather, who was Charlie Weaver, Cliff Arquette, who played a character named Charlie Weaver. And
for real? Yeah. Charlie Weaver was a great character.
Yeah, he was on the old Hollywood Squares. Right. He was on the Jack Parr show.
Yeah, he had this sort of old grandpa character, which was really funny. Now I'm sure everyone would assume he was a pedophile, but back in the 70s, it was some funny crap.
He did the dirty old man thing, so he kind of got away, and he was like a boozer and a ladies' man kind of attitude.
It is funny if you watch.
It's a great gig, by the way.
If you watch old SNL sketches and things like that, they used to have a nice laugh about pedophilia. There was the dirty old man. Come here, sit on my lap, little girl.
Oh, no, no, it was played by Buck Henry. And they played the What's in Daddy's, What's in Uncle Henry's Pocket. Yeah.
Somehow we've matured as a society where we've realized making the racial jokes, making the pedophile jokes, not so good. Fatty, still game on if you're fat.
Right.
We'll never outgrow that.
I think pedophile jokes about children of color.
You're saying combined.
Throw them together.
So if you could find a Puerto Rican kid with a thyroid condition who was being felt up by...
I'd have 20 minutes of new material.
Arquette's grandpa?
Yeah.
You'd never stop laughing.
Saturday night at the Palms, I'd be rocking.
So were you encouraged growing up, or was it just the kind of thing that you absorbed growing up in a family of performers?
Yeah, we just, like, growing up, we kind of did different games. We'd play, like, animal crackers when we were really little, where you'd take an animal cracker, you have to act like the animal you picked. Mm-hmm. Just little things starting out like that, and then, like, more and more theater games. Both of my parents were involved in improv, and my father taught at Second City here.
It's a weird thing I haven't really thought about, but families sit around and they play Parcheesi or Monopoly, or they play board games or whatever they do. It's a family activity. But doing improvisational games is really a hoot. I mean, when I used to be at the Groundlings and then later at Acme, it was fun to go up and do some of these improvisational games, even where you finish a story or you just do a one-word story or you do whatever comes out. But that's what you guys, that's what the Arquettes would do growing up.
When we got older, it would get obviously more sort of intense, and we'd learn, like, you know, all the games, the Spolin games and all that.
So you knew that this is what you wanted to do from a very young age?
Pretty much. I was like a rebellious teenager, so it kind of took some girls at my high school.
He was a rebellious teenager till last week.
Yeah, right. Girls at my high school sort of talked me into doing a school play, and I had a really great drama teacher that kind of got me focused in the right direction.
Did you go to a regular high school out here?
I went to Fairfax High School right here.
Oh, that's regular.
Do you remember the play?
It was original, written by Ben DiBaldo, the teacher, called The Seventh Son.
Hold on. An original play written by, because that's BS.
I'm telling you, it was really cool. It was about a guy, like, it was all, like, greaser 50s. A guy who whose motorcycle breaks down outside of a woman's prison, and he gets taken in, and then he gets to sort of, like, make out with all the girls in the prison. It was pretty ideal. I got to ride through the high school auditorium on a motorcycle.
Really?
Rocking.
But, I mean, the idea...
I was like, this is for me.
You're getting your kids, you're getting your students to do your bidding, because you're essentially a failed screenwriter, playwright, and this play would never be made except for you have a bunch of 16-year-olds that are held captive and have to do what you tell them to do. So instead of doing Annie Get Your Gun, you got Arquette. You're poisoning a young David Arquette's mind.
Well, it's pretty cool, actually. I mean, he you know, teachers are the unsung heroes, you know, and he did inspire me completely. And, like, you know, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now. And I funny story is I didn't want to do it originally. I was, like, running around. And then they were going to pay somebody at another school to do the part.
They're going,
like,
to get a scab to play the lead in your school play?
No one at Fairfax?
So I was like, heck yeah, I'll do it for a couple hundred bucks. And then I do the whole play, and then at the end of the play, I was like, Ben, huh? Where's that? No.
Could have been weird. Like,
you don't get paid for school plays. And I was like, what?
That would have been freaky, though, for the students. Like, isn't that Lorenzo Lamas? Yeah, dude.
It can't be Lorenzo Lamas. He hasn't divorced any of the students yet.
He's like 31. Yeah, he's a ringer. We brought him in. Well, why not? They do that with the football team.
But I like that you said that school teachers are the unsung heroes.
Yeah,
Not that I really care. It's just that my girlfriend's a school teacher, and she's going to bone me now when I get home. It'll all be about you, but I don't care.
Like, she has a choice, by the dude.
That's true.
So, So then you realize you get bitten by the acting bug, well, at an early age, but now it's confirmed. You were ridden the hog out on stage. You hear the cheers and the applause. And now what? You get out of high school. When does Scream come around for you?
Oh, after a while, you know, I got rejected from acting jobs for years. So I finally got my first job right out of high school. And I decided instead of going to college, I'd sort of learn on the job. So
right.
I started acting, and a couple years down the line, after a couple of series and a few independent films, I did Scream. That was like 96 or something.
And that's
earlier? I don't know.
That's when things took off. Yeah, I know. It was a different time. That was the old David Arquette. That was a crazy David Arquette.
Great movies, man.
How were you supporting yourself for those years when you weren't getting acting jobs?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it wasn't that your sort of living conditions aren't that expensive, you know?
Yeah,
I got a couple TV shows and different stuff. There's stuff to do when you're just sort of...
Well, also,
is your family friendly? Because there's an Arquette with money all the time. Some Arquette has money all the time.
I don't really do that.
You guys take turns getting rich? The Corollas do that, except for I've been trying to tap out for about 12 years.
Anybody else
wants to step up.
Yeah, we take turns at the Bonadigios, too. So far, it's been my turn since I was 10.
Right. David Arquette, the movie, by the way, The Tripper, which we forgot to mention, is out on DVD now. It's a horror classic, or at least a homage to the horror classic genre. You're in it. Courtney Cox is in it.
She's got a cameo, but on the DVD, she has some amazing bloopers.
Thomas Jane is in it.
Yeah, Thomas Jane's my brother-in-law, and he's awesome. He's also the Punisher. He's married to Patricia.
Yeah.
He's killer. I mean, if you want to see how insane I am, you should see that movie, because that is really a psychotic film, I must say myself.
And Paul Reubens.
Paul Reubens, one of my best buddies.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's the best. We met on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I thought he took some heat for, nothing.
Yeah,
and I thought
totally.
That was such a drag, man.
It was sort of early on the whole celebrity attack.
Oh, no, I beat him by years. But
yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
I beat him by a decade. He did something like, that's what those places were there for. Before the big home DVD, that's what you did.
Yeah.
I know I did. And it's like, I thought that guy took such a beating. Like, he had done something to, he had victimized someone.
Well, obviously, he didn't hurt anybody. It's like, masturbation is definitely a consensual crime. It's a victimless crime.
Yeah, also, I mean, you know.
But he was pee-wee.
He
thinks he was framed?
I mean, there's stuff that went on. They didn't have a trial. They dropped it. But, you know, there's certain things that, you know, people do want to bust celebrities to a certain extent. You know, it's a reality.
The other, I mean, there's a couple things. He took the heat because he was Pee Wee Herman.
Right.
Right.
And that was his persona, and it became so incredibly ironic that the guy riding around on the big bicycle with the daisy wheels was having at himself inside a Dade County
beauty
bar.
If I'd have been caught rubbing one out at a movie theater, they'd have given me a raise. They said, Bonadigi, that's your act. Right on. Do that again. That's cool.
That's called Tuesday.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's no big deal, but it's the fact that he was Pee Wee Herman. That was number one. But doesn't it always upset you as a tax-paying American when we're talking about not being able to stop escalating gang violence and street thuggery or terrorists coming into the country when you find out that there were undercover cops that were staking out the porn theater? Yeah. You know what I mean? That they always do that thing where they go, we don't have enough manpower. We don't have enough resources. We don't have enough resources. How do you get the resources to park the cop up at the four-way stop sign up Beachwood to bust the secretaries that roll through the four-way for running late for work?
The airport restroom,
guy hanging out at the airport. Right. Where you had a bunch of cops hanging out at some Dade County porno theater to bust who for doing what? I think everyone is in there for the same reason, and their sensibilities aren't very delicate. They know what the other guys are doing. They leave a couple spaces in between the seats.
Unless they don't want to. Unless they're also there to sit next to the other guy or the other girl.
How much time and resources do we spend on stuff like marijuana eradication and hanging out in restrooms and stopping secretaries from rolling through four-way stops? Seems to me that if we took some of those folks and put them toward the stuff we care about, the people, the taxpayers, call me crazy, but we pay your effing salaries. how about you do what we effing want you to do, which is stop any kind of street crime, which is stop the gang violence, to stop the meth heads. How about you stop the stuff we care about as opposed to the senators that are trying to get a little something in a Minnesota bathroom? Because we don't care about that. And I don't know how loudly I can scream that. I don't care about a guy smoking pot. I don't care. I don't care if the guy smokes some weed, goes with Pee-wee to a Dade County house of whatever, and then heads off to a bathroom over at the whatever airport. I don't care about any of that. Why? Yeah. Doesn't affect me or the safety of my family.
Right.
Yeah. That's all I care about.
And meth, you're just mentioning meth. Meth is like a epidemic in this country. They're just like, it's unbelievable. It's one of the drugs that induces psychosis, so it's not like we're making crazy people.
When you hear about somebody who got stabbed 147 times, that's not pot, that's meth, and it was, and I don't know what it is for 2007, but in 2005 or 6, I can't remember when I read it, we spent more on the war on weed than we did on the war on meth, and it's a great example of you guys wasting our tax money and not prioritizing and not doing what we want. Essentially, here's what the cops should be. The cops should be your own security force. It's just your own is 300 million Americans. We'll pay you. You do what we want. I don't want you to punch guys who want an autograph from me in the stomach. But if you see a guy jump the gate and he's coming in through the kitchen window, go ahead and get him. You see, we'll pay you. You do what we want you to do. Instead of the other way around, which is we'll do what we want to do. We'll give you chicken ass tickets who are paying us.
If you stab a guy 147 times, it's meth. If you stab a pizza 147 times, it's pot. Leave me be.
I agree. Hey, Arquette.
Yeah, buddy.
Who knew you would inspire this in me? You're like my muse.
I'm telling you,
glad you got fired up.
I got fired up when I saw Arquette.
By the way,
thanks, buddy. I'm going to go out and live a life.
Maybe it's the name of the movie. The movie, of course, is called The Tripper. And by the way, I didn't know this. Directorial debut.
That's right. Yeah. Ah. It was inspired by actual events of me at a reggae festival, and it all takes place.
Speaking of weed.
Yeah, it all takes place in Humboldt County, which is sort of. And there's pot farmers and lumberjacks and crazy. Oh, yeah, the killer's obsessed with Ronald Reagan.
The Tripper is out on DVD as we speak. David Arquette, always good to see you.
Keep up the good
I'll
fight,
keep up
Adam.
The good fight, brother.
You can do it.
You are the wind beneath my wings, Arquette. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Nicaraguan, name that tune when we come back. I think Bon Jovi, we got some tickets to give away. Yes?
Want to hear one?
Let's hear one.
Whoa, we how and weary. Whoa, living on the player.
Yeah, that's my buddy Ozzy, who, as I said last week, he said he's trying to explain to me that he needed some money for some New York strip steak to bring over to Kimmel's and barbecue for Sunday's football game, and he said I need money for a New York trip. And I said, "What? When are you going to New York?" And we talked for a half hour, me thinking he wanted money to go to New York instead of to buy beef for a barbecue.
It's funny because I got the Tijuana trip one time, and it wasn't that easy to get rid of.
We have four pairs of Jovi, as I like to call them, tickets.
When's
to
the concert,
give away.
Can you say when it is?
I don't have it in front of me, but it's coming up. I'll tell you. We'll fill in the
details.
Good,
because I want to go.
866-901-ADAM. We'll do that next.
Right now on the Adam Carolla Show, it's your chance to win tickets to Bon Jovi's Lost Highway Tour. All you have to do is try to figure out which Bon Jovi song Ozzy is singing.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Tickets on sale this Saturday at 10 a.m. Get them at Ticketmaster or Ticketmaster.com. Nicaraguan Name That Tune with Bon Jovi on the Adam Carolla Show.
This is the one where Johnny used to work on the docks, right?
Yeah.
Now, what'd he do? Did he have a guitar? Did he have a dream about making it sing?
His six strings and hawk.
Oh, is that really?
He's down on his luck.
Yeah. Gino works at Diner all day.
Yeah. It's going to go. Hey, okay. Listen, I like Bon Jovi, but what? Is there some sort of waiver you sign when you decide to cut your first album that you have to write a song about a guy named Johnny who wanted to play the guitar till his fingers bled and he had a dream and this? What the? Isn't that effed out? Aren't you supposed to write songs about stuff that everyone else didn't write before you?
I don't know. In the vernacular of my friends, Johnny Be Good.
That's right.
Mm. It hasn't changed much.
Well, that's why I love the Dada who was in here yesterday singing about the guy singing about taking an acid trip with his dad.
Unique. I know. You do something in your life that's interesting and you write a song about it. You don't write a song about loving on the road. You retards. All right, anyway, big Jovi fan. Got Jovi tickets to give away. We have an intro here.
This is Oswaldo, Nicaragua, Nin Natun. We Bon Jovi. Win tickets to see Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
I like him better now.
All right, let's talk to Troy. Troy?
Yeah, buddy?
Here's how it's going to work, buddy boy. Ozzy's going to sing a Jovi song. You guess the Jovi song, and if you do, you get yourself a pair of tickets. If you all don't, right, we move on.
Theresa Strasser's hot.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right.
Dawson says I just yell non sequitur.
Sucking up is not going to get you those free tickets unless you say I'm funny.
Danny, I'm smoking right now, and Adam, you're hilarious.
Wow. All right, I'm giving you tickets whether you win or not, but let's do it anyway. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Here we go.
Whoa, we hoe and weary. Whoa, living on the player.
Si, it's bueno.
I do like this song.
Me too, man. But I like a lot of stupid-ass bands. I like Motley Crue a lot.
Yeah. All right.
It's a good song.
Like I said, Jovi, fun band, good performers and all that stuff. Just a little weak in the lyric department, that's all. Hey, Troy.
Yes, boss.
You just got yourself some tickets, my brother.
Oh, this is. I am not going to be dumped tonight.
You're not going to be what?
Dumped by my girlfriend.
Oh,
I'm
really?
I'm going to have, like, concert ticket sex tonight.
Yeah.
Wow. Don't get dumped tonight and don't get dumped at work. It makes Adam crazy.
Yeah.
See?
All right. Should we go to our next feller?
See?
Let's talk to Gloria. Gloria?
Hey, Adam, don't be bagging on the Juvie. And Teresa is hot.
Teresa is hot.
Mm, she is. All right. Gloria?
Yes.
You sound like you used to be hot.
I used to be. Dude, I am.
What do you got going on?
I'm hot.
Oh,
I'm hot.
It's malo.
How old are you?
I can't tell you.
All right. So we'll say somewhere in the 40s.
And she's from Corona.
And,
oh, dang.
But please, please, you know what I'm saying? That used to be hot.
Hey, it was the 80s. We were all hot in the 80s.
Yeah, a lot of guys.
Until you woke up and the Quaaludes wore off, and you just go, my God, I went to bed with a grizzly.
Gloria, have you been to a Juvie concert before?
Yes, all the I go every year. I'm hoping I can get you a girl for free this year.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Gloria?
Yes.
We won't talk about your weight, but not going to be up on the shoulders of the old man during the slow one, right?
Hey.
Oh.
Double G's.
Ah, that's what I was smelling. All right, baby.
Of course, the gut bra.
Hey, let's go. Lose the weight, chubby.
You ready to go?
I thought we were going to torture her some more before we played.
We're going to play a song. You go ahead and guess. We have, I think, four pair to give away. Let's do it.
Your love is like bad medicine I want, I need.
What the hell was that?
Oh, oh my come God. On, baby.
What? You can't use words like jovial.
I couldn't hear him.
All right, you want to give her another chance?
I'll give you another shot. Take those boobs out from your ears and listen.
Okay.
Your love is like bad medicine. But medicine I want, I need.
Oh, my God.
What? Oh, my God. Oh, what my about, yes. Forget about your God. What about my God?
What
about my God that had just spoken to me? Hey, that chick's retarded. It came into my headphones, like from out of the sky.
Did too much blow in the 80s. All right, we're moving on.
Did or gave.
Mm. All right.
All right.
Whoa, shocker.
Here's another retarded theme for a rock song. Any of that Doctor, Doctor, I Got a Bad Case of Loving You, or Bad Medicine, all right, this is retarded.
Hold on, you don't want a new drug?
These guys are
dumbos. Dr. Feel Good, are you high?
This is the way. It's like you ripped off someone else's horrible idea. Here's the deal. Five guys had a horrible idea to write an S-filled song 20 years before you, and you thought it'd be a great idea to write another song with the medicine metaphor. No, this song, their lyrics suck.
What, you got a problem with ripping off somebody else's bad idea for a buck? I just wrote a show about a single guy with 12 girls, and he gives them roses, and I call it The Single Guy. I'm thinking it's brand new. No one's ever done anything like it.
Mm. Oh, The Bachelor.
Thank you.
All right. Sorry, it took a minute. Oh, I forgot That's about me. That stupid bad medicine song.
Bad medicine.
Tainted generic drugs, everybody. All right. Really? I would love to get together the 80 bad medicine doctor songs that came before that. Yeah. And then the...
A lot of new drugs.
Music Monday.
All right. F'd out
you
themes.
Don't
That'll
about
be music.
Drugs with me. You're going to be busy.
Songs about F'd out themes will be what we do next. All right. Let's go to line five. Steven?
Yes.
Big Jovi fan?
Yes, I am.
Or as Ozzy likes to say, Juvie. You ready to go?
Sure.
Let's do it.
So time you tell the day, by the bottle time you drink. Sometimes when you are alone, you don't understand.
I don't have this one.
I have that one, but the end wasn't even close.
The end wasn't close.
But the beginning was right on.
Steven? You want one more
shot? One more time, please.
Give me another shot. Doesn't normally work, but here we go.
Sometimes you tell the day, by the bottle that you drink.
There it is.
Sometimes when you are alone, you don't understand.
Yeah, that's where it screws up.
It's Wanted Dead or Alive.
That answer was
Yeah.
Es bueno.
Es bueno. It's time to tell Dave. Listen to that one. By the bottle that you
$1 million voice with a 10-cent mind.
And a $5 million face.
Yeah.
I know Danny. He's a dude.
So what?
I know he wears tight pants and he's easy on the eyes, no. But I'm heterosexual.
You don't see. You don't swap in your mind like I do.
You're gay for saying that.
No, I am most certainly not.
I don't want to boof Bon Jovi. I want to be John Bon Jovi and get those chicks that look up with those gleaming pearly teeth with his long hair flipping back with that fan on the screen, on the stage. Mm-hmm. Those chicks go crazy for that guy. Mm. That doesn't make him appealing to you at all.
I'd rather
be one of the chicks that wants Bon Jovi but can't have him and is forced to perform oral on a roadie. That's my fantasy.
Huh?
I think he just called me a mo for saying that he had a $5 million face, and now he's humming a roadie. And
conversation
I'm
is like bad medicine.
Only because I want to meet Jovi, or Juvie, as Ozzy would
bon
say.
We have more tickets to give away?
Yes. Let's talk to Jason. Ozzy, we have two more pair to give away. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, what's going on? You ready to rock?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it.
I am the god of the healthy fire. I'm bringing you fire.
One day.
All right.
The god of hellfire.
That was
es bueno.
That was a gag, man.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
This guy's going to be at Knott's Berry Farm this weekend, by the way. They're Spillikin Corners, I think. Yeah, that's the weird world of Arthur Brown or something like that. All right, should we play him a Jovi song, or we're just going to give him the win on that? Play a Jovi song. Here we go.
I am devil in the wrong. I see gun lower. I candle in the wing. Yeah.
Wow. No, I don't know that one.
I think I know it.
Wow.
Might be wrong.
Let's have it one more time.
Ooh. I am devil in the wrong. I see gun lower. I candle in the wing, yeah.
I don't have.
Hey, trick question here, because this is not a Bon Jovi song.
Yeah, I thought I heard
John Bon Jovi solo.
But a real fan. Should
all right, let's give him another one. Let's give him.
He got Hellfire.
Let's give him the next one.
Yeah.
He loves them six guns.
Oh,
all right.
I had Candle in the Wind. I thought it was Elton
that's
John.
Right.
All right. That's Yeah, that's a Blaze of Glory. But let's give him the next one.
Oh, she's a little runaway. That girl in her fuss. I thought this is Nick Cornyn say.
She's a little runaway.
Si, es bueno.
Is that technically correct? I say it gets him, don't get me wrong.
Instead of just Runaway?
Isn't the song called Runaway?
I'll give it to him.
I'm giving it to him. I love the guy.
Hey, Jason.
All right. Yeah.
I'm in a good mood and we're running late, so I'm going to give you those tickets.
I love you guys. Thank you very much.
I love you, man. Thanks.
Brandy on line 7.
What a fine girl.
Is from Downey and says, it says, wants to play, and then it says, let's do it. And I'm going to give her the ticket.
I'm assuming she's talking to you on the first part and me on the second part.
Did you tell phone screener Teddy, let's do it?
Let's do it, Adam. All right. Every day.
I like your can-do attitude, and I'm going to give you those tickets.
Wow. Oh, sweet. Thank you. That's my husband.
But let's hear the last one anyway, just for fun.
Show it to the hair, are you to blame? You give it low a ham name.
Ham name?
Giving it a ham name.
Are you sure he's foreign and not just crazy?
One more time?
He can't say my name.
Are you to blame? You give it low a ham name.
Yes? What's that?
The love a bad name.
There you go.
Bueno.
So
good times
you
there,
rock.
Brandy.
Let's do it.
There'll be 10,000 chicks named Brandy at that concert.
With an eye.
And they'll all be what a good wife they would be.
Do we have a outro?
Oswaldo, Nicaragua, Ning Natung. We bong yubi.
Once in a while when I try to get Ozzy, who I've known for 15 years, and support him and his family to pronounce my name, I think to myself, it's like when you watch Schwarzenegger and you go, it's not California, it's California.
Yeah, say the name of the state you're governing.
Once you say it the other way two times, you realize, well, why can't they say it the other way? You've said it.
Right.
Like you do that thing where you go, hey, Arnold, it's not California, it's California. And then you go, wait a minute, you speak two languages. I barely speak one, and I just said it your way and my way. Do you think he could figure that one out? Forget about Ozzy for a second, but do you think a handler could pull Arnold aside and just go, they say California?
Would you want to be that guy?
No. No, but if I was in his hometown of Knotsenburg or wherever
he's from,
I would say, look, we don't pronounce it this way. Here's how we pronounce it. And you're making the locals nervous. And I would probably go home one weekend and light a fire and crack a beer. And I would say, Cala, 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 not E, Cali, no, Cala, Cala, Cala. And then before I went up on a podium to thank some firefighters, I would go, Cala, Cala, Cala. Okay. And then I would just do it. Is that really
his best? Yeah, maybe his
best. And again, not to point any fun because it's just a fact of life for me. My first wife was Japanese and barely spoke English.
Right.
But she would say, it is raining on my laptop.
Right.
Right.
Well, if you can say your R, except you mean it where your L is, and you can say your L, but you mean it where your R is, why can't you flop those?
Well, maybe Maria Shriver could lovingly point it out, such as when I said Germajesty.
Right, instead of Germajesty.
Kindly pointed out that it's really Germajesty.
I thought we just yelled at you.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm telling you, I had a barber from like Cuba, and he told me, we were talking about buying cars, and he told me he was going to trade in his Saab for a Bobo.
And Bobos said, are safer?
Buddy, you can say both the letters. Now all you got to do is take that B where the V was and put it over to Saab and then take the V at the end of Saab and put it with the Volvo.
Right.
Could not do it.
Because one way...
He cut my hair, shaved my neck, and plucked an eyebrow and still could not do Saab and Volvo.
Right. One way you have two cars. The other way you have something you rub on your skin and a drink with big bubbles in it.
Absolutely. Yeah. T?
Yep.
What's in the news, baby girl?
George Clooney and Fabio.
Heard about this.
Came to blows.
Saw it on TMZ.
Yeah, close to blows.
We'll take a quick break. Be back with the news next.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents...
great moments in local news.
Wow. Well, all right, here's our hot shot this morning. It's a potato with a lot of spunk. This is a 3-pound russet potato that grew into the shape of a baseball mitt. How about that? I could see that right now, just peeled and fried up, some ketchup, some mayo if you're John.
You don't think it should go into the Smithsonian?
It should go into my stomach. That's where it should go.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, I saw that about 5 in the morning the other day. That's CNN.
Yep.
That's not local. That's CNN. Time. It's a potato that looks like a baseball mitt from the 20s. They did 10 minutes on it. I took it as a sign to kill my family.
Usually it's the neighbor's dog.
No.
Right.
He's been talking, too. But this put me over the edge. T.
Yep.
The news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
George Clooney almost sent Fabio over the edge. Mm. They almost got in a fight. We're talking about actual fisticuffs.
He threw a seagull at him.
Yes, that's right. He was hit by a seagull.
That'd be my weapon of choice if I got into it with Fabio.
He might have a flashback.
Don't do that. He takes it really well.
First off, he didn't see it coming the first time.
Right.
I believe he's blind to seagulls. I would make seagull nunchucks. That's just feathers. Which would be a big ball of beak and feather.
What was he on a roller
coaster? Tell me you wouldn't run from seagull nunchucks.
I would. They're scary.
That's my
birds
poor
are scary
name.
Alone. Seagull nunchucks.
When I used to do Jewish gay porn, I'd go as seagull nunchucks. But, and they do, and Danny, correct me here, or don't correct me, but everyone calls them nunchucks now, but they're always nunchucks.
And they're both wrong.
I thought it was nunchucks.
It's nunchaku. That's
right.
You.
Point is it N-O-O-N? They're not nunchucks or nunchucks. Everyone says it. They're nunchucks. People think they're mispronouncing it and have gone back and changed it, but they're nunchucks. But seagull nunchucks.
That'd be badass.
And that'd be one of those things, too, where you go, dude, I will be on your ass like I'm swinging single. You'll think you're getting attacked by seagull nunchucks.
Well, there were none of those.
I'm sorry. I just imagined there was somebody in my house last night, and my chucks hang on my wall. My weapons hang on
just
my,
call
my
me
wall.
Chucks.
Mm-hmm. And she wanted to see me use them, so I used them. She was, like, really impressed with what's on the top
Here's
of my
how
body
that
now.
Started. You want to see me use my nunchucks?
Nope.
All right.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's other things I say, want to see me use it, and that's not one of them.
Mm.
But I just got the visual of spinning them real fast under your arms and around your neck and between your legs and all the stuff I can do, and they're just really hitting somebody with a bird.
Alive?
Just, oh, yes.
Well, yeah. How do you connect them then?
First off, if I say it on the air, everyone's going to know how I do
okay.
it.
So
I
can't by do the it. Feet, maybe. Instead of, I was thinking the necks.
Oh, no.
No, the feet. Okay.
1 foot, because I want the other claw swinging free. So if you're lucky, I'll hit you with the meaty part of the seagull's abdomen. But you ain't going to be that lucky.
Right.
You're going to get an ass full of beak and its feathers. And not only that, but the noise. Not only the whoosh as it flies through the air, but seagulls are world-class belly achers. You ever hear those things?
Dude, I've caught one fishing once by accident.
Yes. Yeah. Never stopped. They never shut.
Oh, my God. Reeling it in, it was screaming.
I mean, you hear the noise of the racket those things can make when another seagull tries to steal part of the one seagull's hot dog bun.
That it wait stole from you at Gladstone's?
Right. Wait till I put the chain. Wait till I put the chain on those bitches and start swinging them around.
Wednesday night, L.A.
Mm. You know the other one I may do?
What?
One seagull, one crow.
Ooh, because crows are mean.
Well, that way you don't know what side you're getting hit with.
Right.
You know what I mean? White and black feathers.
George,
ebony and ivory
and
on your ass.
I don't know. If you have two crows, then you've already have a weapon that is called a murder.
Yeah.
So that's pretty rad right there. You've got a murder of crows in your hand, and you're going to hit somebody with it.
All right, I'm sorry,
cool,
T, but I got to write that idea. Seagull nunchucks. Mm-hmm. Brian, write that down, would you please?
By the way, I do not have emphysema when you make me laugh like that. That is not my emphysema.
What is it?
It's just it's too funny to go ha ha. It just comes out like that.
Write down seagull ninja again.
I spelled
ninja. Yeah, N-U-N.
Okay.
Thank you.
All
right, sorry,
Clooney.
T. Clooney, right.
Out on Wednesday night with his girlfriend, Sarah Larson, Fabio was at a nearby table full of women. One of his lady friends started taking pictures. of the people at Fabio's table. But George Clooney thought that she was taking his picture. So he told her to stop. And reportedly, he gave them the finger. There's a picture of this on TMZ, of course.
I saw it on TMZ.
It's all over the place. This made Fabio angry. And you don't like Fabio when he's angry.
Right.
First explained to Clooney what was really going on, that his friend was just taking a picture of their own people at their own table.
Mm-hmm.
He then told Clooney to, quote, stop being a diva.
Right.
Both men stood up. There was a brief shoving match. Waiters broke it up.
Clooney went flying.
Yeah.
It was just a shoving match broken up by waiters. A witness says George looked annoyed when Fabio went to his table. George stood up, dropped the F-bomb, and then went to push him. George was drinking. He wasn't drunk, but he certainly wasn't sober.
Well, you know, the picture I saw on T-Zone TMZ was one of those things where you couldn't figure out who was at fault, because on one hand, you're like, all right, Clooney, get over yourself. Yeah. On the other hand, if you look at the picture, Fabio's back is to Clooney. So he just thinks some guy with hair from the 80s is sitting at the table.
Right.
He doesn't know who's there. And the chick is taking a picture, and right over Fabio's shoulder, you see Clooney eating.
And by the way, that's what she was taking a picture of. That happens all the time.
There's a good chance she really was taking a picture of
maybe
Clooney.
He knew something. I don't know. But if you're Clooney, you don't blame Clooney, because Clooney's like, oh, Jesus Christ, can I eat my dinner here?
Right.
And if you're Fabio, you're like, hey, can I get a picture taken with a fan? So I sort of down with both of them. Once Fabio explained to Clooney what was going on, though, Clooney probably should have had a seat or got back in his electric car.
You lose me at don't I have a right to eat my dinner. She didn't walk over there. She just took a picture, and the answer is no, you don't have a right to just eat your dinner, not at $20 million a picture. She gets your picture, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
You sold your privacy to me for $11. I saw Ocean's 12.
Well, doesn't he have the right to flip her off, and then she just gets a picture of...
Yeah. Sure, I would prefer a picture of Clooney flipping me off, but I think that when you're sitting down in a restaurant and somebody's taking a picture, even if they stood up and took a picture of you, specifically while you were eating dinner and didn't want them to, and you flipped them off, and that was that, I just don't believe a guy that makes $20 million a picture has a right to really dress down that person.
Well, I'll say this about Clooney. He makes no money for a lot of movies he makes, because a lot of them are just pet projects that he basically shepherds. So I'll give him the street cred for not just taking the paycheck like Cage and actually doing a lot of smaller independent things. But it's a bigger question than we can answer today. Do these guys, and for me, I'm sort of a moderate on it, which is if you want to walk down the sidewalk, people are going to take pictures of you. But going through your garbage or using a telephoto lens to get you in your bedroom when you're in your house and think you have privacy, now you've crossed the line.
I feel queasy about some of the stuff at TMZ when people are with their kids and they're being followed by photographers.
Just dance and get your paycheck, whore.
when we finished Breaking Bonaducci, I had that happen. They went through my trash and took pictures of it looking for needles.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah. But, I mean, even as a complete drugged out loser, I have responsibility with the medical waste. You just don't throw it out of the trash.
It's a difficult line. Sometimes I'm really fascinated and I want to see the celebrity walking to their car. And sometimes I think, why are we doing this? Can't you just let George Clooney eat his dinner with his girlfriend?
Yeah, I can. I just don't have to.
You know what
I gave him my money.
We need royalty over here. We need a queen and a prince. And
don't we have both?
Well,
one's dead.
We need actual royalty, and the paparazzi would then take off in their direction and leave the celebrities alone.
All right.
Sorry, T. Go ahead.
No problem. Fabio's manager is saying George is lucky he didn't end up in the ER.
Yeah.
Get it? Because he was on the show ER.
That's good stuff.
Look out.
By the way, that we
Fabio's
a friend of mine who killed him. And I'm a bigger fan of George Clooney, by the way. Fabio's a friend as an actor and a performer and a producer and a director. Clooney's the talent, but Fabio killed him.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, Fabio's 6'3 or something.
He's about 6'5, about 240, and people hassle him constantly.
Fabio's not 6'5, is he?
6'3.
So it says 6'3?
Oh, muscle.
All right, he's a lot of man.
Yeah.
A lot of man,
Clooney,
and people 5'11. Hassle him all the time. They always want to push around and go, I can't believe it's not the butter. And then they go too far. I've seen him at Gold's Gym move a very large man out of his way, and that guy went flying.
All right.
Oh.
I would have liked to see that.
It was so cool seeing Fabio smack somebody.
Before we take a break, I want to ask you an important philosophical question. What do you think Donald Trump would make of Paul McCartney.
You look at Paul and you say,
I believe he'd be split on him, which would be a classy loser. He's got class, but he's also a loser.
Okay, I'm going to go. He's got class, although I can't do an impression unless they're all Jack Klugman. I'm sorry, wait. Donald Trump with throat cancer.
Okay.
I think Bob McCartney's got a lot of class. He kept his mouth shut through this whole thing. That one-legged bitch, she just keeps yapping about the charity. What charity was she doing when she was showing their beef in those magazines? I don't think so. That's with throat cancer.
So you're going class?
You say classy.
And then his wife's a whore.
Well, mm-hmm. I'm going to give you some options. Mm-hmm. Does Donald Trump think Paul McCartney is a class act, a living legend, a delight, a straight shooter, or a schmuck? We got to take a break,
Adam. Take a break. I know the answer to all your questions because I watch all the stupid shows and watch all the news religiously, so I catch almost all of it. I know what the answer is, but I'll let T tell you herself when we come back.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Lake Mary, Florida. A 42-year-old woman crashed her van into several mailboxes and a palm tree. She faces felony child abuse charges because she was driving with her 7-year-old daughter in her lap. Definitely not a Jew.
T-Bone.
Yep.
You ready for the rest of the news, girl?
Sure. We were speaking earlier about Donald Trump on Extra last night. He was discussing Paul McCartney.
You know, I married Umka from Classylvania.
Right.
Because she was just that classy, a terrific gal.
Is that near Knotsenburg, where Schwarzenegger's from? Knotsenburg
is on the border of Classylvania and Terrificville.
Does Paul McCartney live in Terrificville?
He has a dual citizenship between Terrificville and Knotsenburg.
Let's take a listen to what Trump has to say about Paul McCartney and his legal woes.
You look at Paul and you say, schmuck. It's a shame what's happening to Paul McCartney. Paul went out and he said, I would never have a prenup. And look what happened. All I know is he's going through hell.
You know, that's what I said. He's part class, part loser. He's a loser. He's a classy loser.
Wow. And he's loony.
They wrote a song about it. The Beatles did. I'm a cluser, and I'm not the man you used to. I'm a cluser.
Mr. Trump, you have a nice
voice.
I have
the cash I used to have.
Ba-ba-boo, ba-ba-bee, ba-ba-ba. I met Slovakia in Classylvania.
Did you make Slovakia sign a prenup, Mr. Trump?
I signed a prenup myself. I sign a prenup before I masturbate.
Oh, you
that's
do?
As I have.
Just in case.
Notice he said masturbate, because when he does it, it's a celebration. So he combines those words on purpose.
Every night before I masturbate, I have my attorneys bringing a prenup so I don't sue my genitalia.
You don't want to take yourself to the cleaners?
That's right. I'd like them to take the comforter to the cleaners, though, when I'm done.
I wrote what I believe to be, oh, God, do I want to come off this crazy? I wrote a real quick, not a prenup, but a postnup saying I will give you everything, like this, about 6 months after I was married, in blood. I picked my
dramatic
finger with a quill and filled part of a shot glass and then wrote in a quill.
Can't just build a ship in a bottle, huh?
No, man. I got to brand my ass.
Yeah.
It's a fun place where I live, you guys.
You do. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. You do.
All right. T.
Damon Wayans was on The View. And I thought you might relate to some of his ideas, Adam, about men and women.
Let me ask you about this, because it says you're a single guy, but you're saying you're having a hard time settling down with a woman. I don't believe this.
Come on, Damon. As fine as you are,
your expectations are too high. What are you talking about, Damon?
Well, women today don't, you know, most women that I'm running into don't want to do the fundamentals. They don't cook.
What is it? The fundamentals.
Yes. Damon.
It's a joke trying to get a woman. Why don't I cook?
Yeah.
Because I make the money so she can make something to cook.
Oh, wow.
Totally fair and totally right.
You're suggesting that somebody in the house should do something other than you?
Yeah, you should make the money and she should cook dinner? Wow, that'd be fabulous.
I have the, I'm not going to make the money, get up at 4:30 in the morning, bring the money home, buy everything, and then cook it. I give that speech to my wife once a goddamn week. I don't know what.
Nice.
Yes, it's very enjoyable. You know what I use? I use my seagull chucks to get it to get my point across.
This is what you woke me up for.
Ty Pennington megaphone.
Yes. Listen, I swear to God, we're going to hell in a handbasket because
why all the hating?
Somebody decided that it was demeaning to women to cook, to sew, to clean. This
you know
is
why?
Demeaning. The problem. Hold on. The Sorry. Problem is it was not replaced with anything. It's just demeaning to do that. So I'm not going to do it. This is, hate to say it, but it's also happened in the black community. I've said this many times. A lot of brothers have said, hey, it's demeaning for me to go out in the sun and toil and dig ditches. Let the Mexican guys do that. Fine. Now go get a law degree. That's right. How it's supposed to work.
Right.
That's how it's supposed to work, ladies. You're not supposed to cook anymore or sew anymore or cook anymore. Fine. Go make a bunch of money and we'll happily hire someone to do it. But a lot of women said, I'm not going to cook and I'm not going to sew and I'm not going to do anything anymore, but I'll replace it with watching Oprah.
Right. But and here's where when I said I found out, I believe I know when it became demeaning. When somebody referred to it as woman's work.
Yes.
That's when we lost them.
Right.
Because otherwise it was just work, and it's hard work.
Do I get a waiver for working? Because I can't.
Yes.
Cook.
No. Look, if you can not do anything
no,
you want.
No, and a dual income, then fair's fair.
Here's
if you're bringing in all the bread, you better bake it.
Here's the rule. The rule is you either can do it or you can pay somebody to do it. But not doing it and not paying someone to do it is a third option that I'd like to remove from the table.
Fair enough.
You, Teresa, if you don't do it, fine. I don't care what's between your legs.
Oh, I do. I'd like to make that clear right now.
I really don't care. My grandfather stayed home, was a goddamn slave to my grandmother. He cooked, he cleaned, he gardened, he did everything. Not that much, but she went over to the Veterans Administration where she worked for 30 miserable years. She let him know every second just how miserable she was getting up at 6:30 in the morning and carpooling with some jackass who drove a van and she had nothing in common with. She let my grandfather know very clearly that when I'm done with a super miserable 10-hour day, when I come home, I better smell some goulash when I walk through that door. And that old MF-er, he ran.
Yeah.
When her car pulled up the driveway, he ran, and he was in a cold sweat if that goulash wasn't cooking.
I can't get him to jog. You know what I'd like to see removed from the table? Right. Some dirty friggin' dishes.
That's right.
Just once.
That's right, instead of a kookaroo bucket. I agree.
Do I need a prenup? When I get married.
Why? Do you have anything?
What do you have?
You don't have anything.
I got a mansion in Koreatown. It's,
I know.
It's tagged by four or five different gangs.
And he's going to want a prenup so you don't get his cowl.
Don't get weird, T. You're cool.
It's
fine,
right?
I'm just saying. It is. I agree with Damon Wentz on this one. Ladies, it's not demeaning. It's demeaning to have you go to work for 12 hours, come home, and then me yell at you to cook something for me while I've been on the sofa.
You're saying it's not
absolutely.
It's not gender-based. It's just if you're not earning, you should be cooking.
Whoever is the one who stays home, whoever takes care of the kids, it's this way. Whatever your gender is, if you stay home, you're in charge of cooking, shopping, cleaning, and all that stuff.
Even though that can be harder than what it is the other person does for a living.
Well, that's BS, too.
I disagree on that, and I'll tell you why. The one day that I took off work on a work day when I should have been at work, I came downstairs, and my wife was cooking breakfast with Dante in one arm, a frying pan in the other, my dog biting at her leg like in a movie, like in a sitcom, to tell her that it was. And Isabella was screaming, "I won't wear this." And it was 7 a.m. And I said, "Is it like this every day?" And she said, "Every day. And it goes downhill from here." And I can't do it.
You're not a roofer.
No, but I'm saying for some jobs.
You don't have a job that involves burning calories.
But that's what I said. I said some jobs are harder than others. I come here and I get to play with Adam Carolla and Teresa Strasser and Big Old Bald Brian. I can't say his name, so I burn a calorie there. I have great fun here, but so what? I also make a good deal of cash. There's stuff in that house, like a friggin' piano. How about we eat dinner on it? What part didn't you follow, dude? I bought the girl a piano. She won't make me dinner.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
That's okay.
Sometimes
we're talking about Gretchen. I was on Gretchen.
Me too.
We're on Gretchen. Sorry.
We're all on Gretchen. Why do you think I'm divorcing the bitch?
T.
I'll get to this quickly. A story out of the UK. Here's what happened. Officials at a UK high school were aghast. A stripper visited a student during class. She whipped him in front of the other students and the horrified teacher. Why did a stripper dressed up as a policewoman show up at a school and start whipping a student? Well, there was a booking error.
Mm-hmm.
His mom wanted to send him a gorillagram. It was his 16th birthday. She cleared this arrangement with the Nottingham's Arnold Hill School and Technology College.
Mm, got names over there.
I know.
We're just pretty much like, hey, David Arquette, what high school do you go to?
Fairfax.
Oh, what street's that on? Fairfax. Oh. That's about all we got. I went to North Hollywood High.
Where was
Jeez,
that?
What great explorer was that named after? It's pretty much just in North Hollywood.
Well, no, it was Oliver North, and he went to Hollywood North.
Yeah, we don't do the, what's the name of that place?
It's Nottingham's Arnold Hill School and Technology College.
Of homos.
Yeah. You know what elementary school I went to?
What?
Colfax Elementary.
Oh.
Not named after the great Dodger pitcher on the street called Colfax.
Oh, I went to Sandy.
Elementary school then, as long as we're playing. I went to Woodland Hills Elementary School.
There you go. In what city?
Woodland Hills, California.
Thank you. All right, T.
You guys didn't go to Brandeis Hillel Day School.
So the stripper came in there and smacked the, was it a 16-year-old?
Yeah, he was supposed to get a gorillagram, booking error. Led to him getting a woman dressed up in a police costume. She placed a collar around his neck and led him around the classroom with a leash, telling him he'd been a bad boy for not doing his homework. I guess she tried to work in the surroundings.
Right.
She put on a Britney Spears song, and then she stripped for the entire class.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize the jig was up. Well, still better than watching the gorilla strip. Because that's unnerving.
I think the gorilla just sings happy birthday.
Don't ever correct me on the air.
Sorry.
Better than watching that Ninja Turtle strip.
The police were not called and no one was suspended from the school in the incident. Officials are investigating.
You know what sucks?
There'd be 1,000 lawsuits if that happened
here. Oh, yeah.
I thought that, too.
But if you get a strippogram, a gorilla strippogram, and she's not in a suit.
Yeah. I think it's a gorilla
hairy bitch.
Bad
times. Suit stripper.
Just she's not bleaching and waxing.
I got to interject here. At my high school, a year after I left, my brother was there. There was the students pulled a prank, and they hired a gorilla to come in the middle of a rap, middle of a big assembly, came in the middle of the gym, gorillas dancing around, administering, it's like, what's going on? Out of the gorilla suit comes a naked woman, a stripper.
Really?
Yes.
Fully naked?
At my high school.
What was the name of your high school?
It's a private high school. Sarah High School. Inopro Sarah High School.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah?
S-E-R-R-A.
Named after
a smile, like Sarah Smile, that chick?
Mm-hmm.
So at least was named after a famous
It was for gifted balding students.
That's it. I'm Teresa Strasser, proud graduate of Brandeis Hillel Day School, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. CNN.
Oh, you know, my favorite topic, PSAs, where they beg you to talk to your kids. Well, we have a bunch of good celebrities talking to their kids or begging
Smoking
you.
Smoking sucks.
Begging you to talk to our kids. I also have my kids. Their first words, yes.
You do?
I went and taped them the other
Elmo.
Night.
Elmo. Elmo.
Elmo's their god. They worship the Elmo god.
Prayer session.
There's no doubt.
I could wreck that for them.
There's no doubt that if my little Sonny and Natalia were in the crib and the little nymph landed on the edge of it in the middle of the night and just said, who would you like to see killed, Daddy or Elmo? Oh, yes. Not a doubt in my mind. We'll take a quick break. Be back with that next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaduce and Teresa Strasser. You've heard the Ace Man rant on public service announcements.
It's good for the bottle. It's good for the can. I have no idea what that means, by the way. It doesn't make me feel like recycling. It makes me feel like watching copious amounts of gay porn. It's good for the bottle. It's good for the can. My fist is good for your face. Shut up.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Look, here...
That's why I'm angry about PSAs.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
We force radio stations to do PSAs. We force TV stations to do PSAs. Otherwise, they don't get their license. Right. They have to do a certain amount of it. Now, there's nothing in it for them except for to satisfy the requirements of the man. So they don't put a lot of effort into them. And evidently, there's no criteria for PSAs because you just get to do it on stuff. Stuff so much. I mean, talk to your kids. Every third effing PSA is some C-list celebrity telling me to talk to my kids. Does that do anything?
You know what? And they don't even make sense because they say talk to your kids and eat with your kids. So essentially they're saying talk with your mouth full to your kids.
Yes.
It's teaching them bad manners.
Spit food
on your children. Which is always a good time, by the way.
I want to hear the new recordings.
Play the, well, play Howie and then we'll see if we play Sonny and Natalia. I got some new recordings.
We all know we should talk more with our kids.
Yes, so shut up.
The kitchen table.
Elmo,
meal.
Elmo.
Or no meal.
Now, which Elmo. One's that?
Let's see. First one, I think that's Sonny. They both need to watch. I try to watch TMZ every right. night, but I get a couple of clicks in, and evidently the kids are spooked by Permatan and Grecian formula. Because they can't handle TMZ, I immediately have to show me Elmo.
So Elmo neutralizes the damaging effects of Harvey?
His hair is a more natural color. That's what
and there's less
that's what Sonny. That's what Sonny. So I try to watch your show, but I have to switch it over to Elmo. Oh. And when I say switch it over, it's TiVo'd Elmo. We have to put Elmo on. That's Natalia. She won't eat unless Elmo. Elmo has to be going into her eyes for food to enter her mouth.
Makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, very, very good. Do we have talk to your kids?
When you're stuck in traffic, instead of talking on your cell phone, talk with your kids before you start breaking up.
Sonny, when have we become obsessed with telling people to talk to their kids? And look, if you refuse to talk to your kids as a parent, isn't it about done?
Yeah, I don't think that Michael J. Fox is really going to push you over the edge to speak to your children if you've stopped.
Yeah, like, hey, man, I had what's-his-nose and what's-her-face over there for a full 13 years before I saw Miguel Ferrer tell me to talk to them. And then it was like I was hit by lightning. I realized, hey, this hack actor is right. Perhaps I should open my mouth and discuss things with my kids.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because I was really hating myself and feeling insecure until Molly Sims told me to like myself. And I thought, why not just like myself?
Sure, get a boob job and yourself.
Thank you.
Yes,
it's funny, but the way people look at you has a lot to do with the way you look at yourself.
What?
Be proud of who you are.
That's it?
Inside and out.
Again, if you have a product that you're attempting to sell, you would never go with this waste of time because it means nothing. But if you're required by the FCC to waste our time, and by the way, let me just say this to the pussies over at the FCC. Let me say this to you vultures, you vermin. You bed bugs. Let me say something to you idiots. If I go ahead and drop an N-bomb, you'll pull me off the air. You have lots of requirements in terms of what I can say, but evidently no requirements as to what is the message given by the PSA. You have the requirements to give the PSA, right. Otherwise you won't grant a license to NBC or CBS, but they can just sit there and talk about nothing, and that doesn't make a difference to you.
Also, they don't say, they tell us what we can say, but they don't tell us what we can say and should say to our children.
Right.
So we could just drop the N-bomb to our kids all day long, are meeting the requirements of that PSA.
Good point.
Thank you, sir.
That's why I'm going to start talking to my kids in the form of the N-bomb.
Yeah.
That's all it'll be.
Because I've seen your kids, and I think you get away with it.
I'm going to kick Elmo's N-bomb ass.
There you go.
All right, we'll take a break.
Elmo.
Well, just enough time to give some thanks where thanks are due. I want to thank Richard Lewis. It's a benefit show celebrating Peter Boyle's life.
How dare you?
This Saturday, 800-452-CURE. For tickets, David Arquette, The Tripper, on DVD right now. Teresa Strasser, TMZ, TMZ.com. Ah, is it Thursday already? Drawn Together. One of the most bizarre, sickest animated shows. No, the most bizarre, sickest animated show on television.
And one of the funniest.
Together. I completely agree, and I do nothing but one voice.
I had no idea you even had anything. I've been watching this since it's been on. Before I knew you, I had no idea you had anything to do with it. I thought it was brilliant then. I think it's brilliant now.
Thank you. 10:30 tonight on Comedy Central. Danny?
I'll tell you this. I've got the Extreme Ride charity auction. This is the Subaru, Impreza I've been driving around. It's from Santa Monica Subaru. Fully loaded with the Eclipse in-dash portable navigation. If I had the time to tell you what that is, because you think it's a GPS, and it's not. It's the raddest thing ever. You'll never see anything like it. Go to 971freefm.com. Click on Extreme Ride link for details. Last chance to bid on this car. The bidding ends on Thursday. All proceeds benefit the Optimist charity for youth homes and family services. So check it out. And if it doesn't go up high enough, because I know what it's worth, I'm going to buy it and I'll bid you. So hurry.
Good car, good cause. All right. Take a break. Until next time, Sam Kroll saying mahalo.
I love Jovi in the sense that I want to be Bon Jovi.